America, there's a rule against alcoholic beverages. Infraternities on probation.
Say, how about joining me and my friend over there? Come on, join us in a beer, okay?
Get me another beer, Dragon Lady.
It was the greatest beer in all the world.
Just drink the fucking beer, and you'll get the hang of it.
Listen, they want us to pay for the beer we drink. So you guys better split.
Why don't you just buy me a beer?
Hey, you want some help with that beer, kid?
I have respect for beer.
Save one of those beers for me, eh?
You want some of this milk?
Rather have a beer.
You want a beer, pal?
What do you drink?
I got this non-alcoholic shit.
What's that?
Like a non-alcoholic beer. It's got no alcohol.
Is it beer?
Yeah, with no alcohol.
But you drink enough, and if you drink a lot, they get you fucked up.
No, there's no alcohol. That's the fucking point.
Can't imagine ever not enjoying getting fucked up.
Yeah.
I love it. Rather being sober.
Fuck, it sucks. And just like the movies, we play out on the last scene. You won't cry, I won't scream.
Hey everybody, this is Dustin.
This is Seth.
And we are drunk at the movies. And we're not drunk at the movies right now because it is 7:43 a.m. on December 29th.
I'm slightly hungover at the movies.
Oh, well, good for you. I am not.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I haven't been drinking a whole lot lately. So despite the name of the movie, I'll be drinking non-alcoholic beer at the most.
And I'm sticking with coffee right now. I've cut back quite a bit, and the plan going into the new year is to really, really limit myself. So when we do these, they are going to be not as drunk at the movies as previous times. Right.
But it's a catchy name.
It is. Let's keep it.
You know. All right. Well, the reason we are gathered here today on this fine, dreary Sunday morning, a perfect day to stay inside and watch movies, if I say so myself. Do we have a treat in store for you? Seth and I have only recorded one episode together in the past 5 months, and we are now going to record 7 in one day. We've done a double feature before. I don't even think we've done it. Have we done a triple?
I feel like we did a triple feature. Once. I vaguely remember it because I was a little bit drunk at the time.
I was probably high.
Yeah. So when we got into the third one, I feel like it was either Willy Wonka or The Toy.
That's right.
It was one of those days. But yeah, we've never tried doing what we're doing today.
Yeah.
Which is just one long marathon. Uh-huh. And we're doing what? Six movies today.
Seven
movies today.
Six movies and a holiday special.
Yes, a very special holiday special, and that probably gives it away.
Yeah,
as if you didn't know already.
Well, you clicked on the episode, so you should know what we're watching today. It is Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace, and what we are planning on doing across two recording days is watching the entire live-action cinematic Star Wars collection.
Essentially, the Skywalker saga with the additions of Solo and Rogue One, which tie into the Skywalker saga.
And the Ewok movies.
Yes. The Battle for Endor.
And Caravan of Courage. Yes. They take place between Empire and Jedi. But that's day two. What we have lined up for today is episodes 1-3, the tough ones. Then you got Solo, Rogue One, A New Hope, and the Star Wars Holiday Special to close it out. And we are going to release these once a week, but we are recording them in succession. So you will probably hear us grow a little weary at times.
There might be some groans. There will be some laughs.
And it's going to be a fun time. This is my last day of vacation before heading back to work. I've been off for a week. I've been looking forward to this. And Seth and I were discussing work. Both not quite sure why we were looking forward to this so much, but here we are. And just like every other episode, we have to have our opening credit song.
Yeah.
So to kick things off, we have a song from the band High Adventure, which makes me wonder if they're Gummy Bear, the Adventures of the Gummy Bears fans, because like their theme song.
And they jumped really high.
Yeah. And, hey, happy New Year's Day, state of Illinois. You may be high right now, too. The song is The Way of Qui-Gon Jinn. And this is High Adventure here on Drunk at the Movies.
Christmas nights and starry days, a tale of hope he breathed. A warrior walked with hair of gray, an emerald blade he sheathed. A page brought to a planter's side, and seeds of doubt were sown. But tares were tossed, the night reaped fruit from neath the field of stone. Allied with greed to loose a bond, an urge to wave his hand, his trusted judgment found the one, a gem among the sand. He rides the winds of destiny, shared by the ones that he set free, blown far away from rules and sin. His truth the narrow-minded cannot see, the way of Qui-Gon Jinn. A master high without a chair, a seer without a call, the first to give a martyr's blood as dark turned to fall. The younger took his prize to shape, the elder's crafts did writhe, and paid the thief and split the land, torn up with his red scythe. The here and now he taught to sight, his squire had kept his word, and won the fight with rage's side, brought down with his green sword. He rides the winds of destiny, shared by the ones that he set free, way of Qui-Gon Jinn, blown far away from rules and sin. His truth the narrow-minded cannot see, the way of Qui-Gon Jinn. His vengeance weighed the famine in the wake of its descent. Of you became a template, and they meet with what was meant. His novice heard the whispers of his ashes in the gale, and in the end the flash of jade placed one onto the scale. He rides the winds of destiny, shared by the ones that he set free, blown far away from rules and sin. Is truth the narrow-minded cannot see, the way of Qui-Gon Jinn. He rides the winds of destiny, shared by the ones that he set free, blown far away from rules and sin.
So, speaking of the gummy bears, why don't everybody pull up Disney Plus? Hopefully you have it at this point. This is what we're going to be using to stream most of the movies. Yes, I have the DVDs, but that requires changing them, and we're going to be doing this for 15 hours. We want this as seamless as possible.
And we want to make sure that you have availability to the most available
movie. Yeah, because there's differences on these versions, because these were for the 3D re-releases, which Phantom Menace was the only one that came out.
Yeah.
So, more on that a little bit later. But go ahead, pull that up on your Disney Plus, and get ready to hit play in 3, 2, 1. The Jedi discover Anakin Skywalker, a boy strong with a Jedi Force.
Now, what was your reaction in 1997? I guess maybe 96 was when they revealed the title of the film.
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty stoked. Being a huge Star Wars fan, I mean, I collected the action figures.
Yeah.
Starting in the early to mid-90s.
And here's that moment. I remember in the theater, as soon as that happened, I was just like, this is it. I'm watching Star Wars in the theater for the first time.
A brand new movie.
1983.
Yeah. And I mean, I didn't see Jedi, obviously. I was 2 years old. So this aside from the special editions, which I did go to, where they added in the new footage, which we probably will see some of later, this was my first Star Wars movie. It was brand new, and I bought the novelization by Terry Brooks as soon as it came out.
Yep.
I was working at Shopko in Pekin in the electronics and toy department. I bought all the action figures the day they came out. Yep. I got to take home a bunch of the promotional material. I was, like, invested.
Which was weird. They released the action figures, and so the entire reveal of the movie that Padme is Queen Amidala is completely ruined if you went and bought the action figures, which I need Star Wars.
No, Keira Knightley is Queen Amidala.
Oh, that's right. It was Keira Knightley. I'm sorry. I get the two confused. They look very similar.
Well, she played her decoy.
Hey, she thinks she looks alike.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keira Knightley was
It was
the
like
decoy.
One of her first roles or whatever.
One of the many decoys. And see,
didn't bother reading any of that to you guys because it's really boring and political.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the least interesting scrolling titles of the Star Wars saga.
Because there's nothing that gets kids going
than reading
like, a galactic congress.
Yeah, yeah. Trade disputes are very intriguing to 5 year olds. All right. See, Return of the Jedi was the first movie I remember seeing at the theater.
I
was taken to AT and
re-release,
Superman 2,
I'm guessing.
My brothers and I sat toward the front. Yoda's death. Spoiler. Yoda's death.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
is the first thing I remember seeing on the big screen. And the lightsaber battle at the end between Luke and Darth, obviously. Vader, to be specific.
Yeah.
That was my first memory. So seeing this in the theater, it was like that childhood came back. And I remember just like, you know, that feeling, that like hairs standing up feeling when you hear that music and that title just, you know, soars away from the screen. I was so excited when I sat down in the theater and watched this. And then I sat down in the theater and watched this.
So that's not C-3PO. That was THC-14, I think they said.
It's a lady droid.
So we got a couple guys in some cloaks here. And there we go. There's Qui-Gon Jinn, Liam Neeson, and Ewan McGregor as a young Obi-Wan with that ponytail thing.
Yeah. Jedi lose their ponytail after they've achieved a certain number of...
kills?
Yes. They tattoo him on their arm as well.
He's like a pledge in a frat, and he's got to wear that ridiculous ponytail.
He's going to get spanked with a lightsaber later.
So, funny you say that. This movie is the only one that doesn't use the word lightsaber.
A laser sword is used,
yeah,
but not lightsaber. I don't know why.
They hadn't named him that yet.
And I actually like that term came up later on again, but we'll get there many movies from now.
So I used to know what these guys' names are, and I'm going to, I think, like, Rune Gunray or something. Newt Gunray. I don't know. I had all the figures. I've since gotten rid of most of them and just kept the classics. But
is it too woke for us to have an SJW conversation about the voices of the Viceroy? And why they talk like this?
Right.
Like, why?
Yeah, that's
Obi-Wan took a drink.
I got my coffee. I got Mountain Dew right now. It's early. Yeah, they're kind of going for like a Long Duck Dong type of thing. Even their eyes are kind of slanty.
It's everything.
And they're
about
Asian
them. And they're fish type people. Like exactly.
I just watched Crazy Rich Asians last night for the first time.
How bad did you think it was?
I actually enjoyed it.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I hate when I say something's bad and then I find out someone liked it. I'm like, oh, now I'm a dick.
No, I mean...
You didn't like Phantom Menace, did you?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
And that's what I mean. Like, I can't believe I'm excited to watch this again because the last time I saw it, was the 3D renderings when Lucas was trotting them back out again. They were going to...
Oh, it's Dracula.
Yeah. They were going to have all the movies re-released in 3D, and I was like, awesome, yeah. I can take the kids.
Yeah, this is special edition, right? This is yeah. with all of the
yeah,
the
Tatooine. They were starting with episode one, and they were going to go through Jedi and do them all in 3D. They did episode one, and I'm like, well, I got to go see this piece of shit in the theater yeah. again. And I took Drew, and then Disney bought Lucasfilm, and they canceled the rest of the 3D adaptations.
So you only got to see them
and all. I was like, motherfuckers. Like,
forced you to sit through Phantom Menace yeah. once more.
So, yeah, that being said...
So we're at our first Jedi
yes, we have,
fight scene.
We have laser swords.
How come that one Viceroy has sexy Hot Topic sleeves?
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's goth or something. He's
wearing, like, some weird S&M robe.
So Qui-Gon's got a green, and Obi-Wan, of course, has blue.
Were you a Jedi? Which would you choose?
What color for my laser sword?
Yes.
I'd probably go blue.
Yeah.
Blue's my favorite color, and okay. it looks pretty badass. Go also, classic. I'm traditional, yeah.
I'd go with green just because I...
you can't have red.
I know, yeah. It's red's only
And
reserved.
You can't have purple because have purple. Only one badass motherfucker in the exactly. galaxy can have a purple exactly. lightsaber, and we'll meet him later.
Can't have gold because only one other badass motherfucker. Mm. Although...
Liquid hot magma. and here come the little, like, roller oh, yeah, droids. The Some of the things in this things. Movie are cool. I will give them that.
Yes.
But overall, yes. the sum of the parts is not greater
always
than...
Do that. There's yeah. certain Jedi powers. Is it like in the Super Empire Strikes Back Nintendo game or Super Nintendo game where, like, you've only got a certain amount of force power in your meter, maybe. So you can only do certain things at certain times? And you have to scroll to the right screen to use the right power? Is that why they don't just constantly run at light speed and jump as right. high as humanly possible?
I wonder what foods are good for increasing your force.
Turkey legs seem to be the go-to in just about every video game.
So they're gonna...
He said, let's split up. Things aren't working out with these two.
Be stowaways.
They're going to see other Jedis.
Oh, is this where Princess Leia? No, it's another Asian-looking lady.
Yep. And we have Qui-Gon Jinn is a samurai, essentially, played by a very large Irishman.
Yeah.
This was Liam Neeson's... this is right when he got into a phase of playing, like, samurai-type characters, because then he went on to be in Batman Begins, where he played Ra's al Ghul.
You must be mistaken.
Beware, Viceroy. The Federation has gone too far this time.
So, do we want to talk about the delivery of dialogue?
The accents?
Just in general. I mean, in the Star Wars movies, they're pretty well known for stiff acting. And I originally think that was a choice. And then it became kind of a curse because they had to... continue that.
Yeah.
And I think that ended with the last trilogy. They kind of broke that a little bit
yeah.
and didn't stick to that. This trilogy was like, nope, we need to make them kind of like the old ones.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a lot of kind of cold, emotionless.
And I think that was unintentional. I think that if you don't know, if you're a Star Wars fan, but you haven't really watched a lot or read a lot about the background of Star Wars, George Lucas is not really an actor's director. Actors don't like working with George Lucas. He doesn't yeah. give direction. He was big on faster, more intense.
Yeah.
Which most actual actors hate. They hate that kind of direction because that's nothing you can work with. So they can't build a character off it.
Hey, first black guy in Star Wars.
Hey, there he is. Well, there was Lando. Oh, well, technically. I see. Yeah. You're going chronologically within
right.
the... Yes. Why does her helmet look so walrusy?
I don't know. And the lip makeup always annoys me.
I don't like it.
I don't
like her kabuki
I don't
makeup.
Like that. I don't like a lot of kabuki lip makeup where they make the mouth look smaller.
Yeah.
I want big lips.
There was a certain 1930s
not
style
big, but just
that,
regular
that looked cool. That, you know, they kind of did, you know, Billy Corgan was big into it in the Melancholy and Adore era.
That was the first action figure released from Episode 1, where those droids on those kind of speeder things. It came in a deluxe package. So the technology never improved on these holograms over the years.
Did we talk about the delivery of? There's so much to talk about in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, we got plenty of time.
So many movies to talk about everything.
New creatures.
Yeah, it's interesting how technology never really advances.
Well, it was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far. Oh shit! There
it's
he
almost
is.
Like they got to all the technology they were ever going to have, but
there's Jar Jar.
Social, yeah, yeah. Okay, I guess we'll wait to talk about that fun stuff. Let's concentrate on what's happening right now. We have been introduced to who is arguably, but not much of an argument can be made against the fact that this is probably the most disappointing, worst character in the history of fictional film.
No, Mrs. Stay. Mr. Kojata Binks. Mr. Your humble servant.
That won't be necessary.
Oh, but it is. It is demanded by the
it's not. It wasn't. George, it was not necessary.
Yeah. My little cousin Steven loved Jar Jar, though, and he was like 4 or 5. Jar Jar was the character that the kids were supposed to enjoy, and I guess in that regard, it was successful. Excuse me,
but this is the worst thing that's ever happened to anything. This, we were born in a time where we were immersed in Star Wars. My older brothers, and really not a lot of my friends, were into Star Wars in grade school growing up because I was like the youngest in my family. Most of my friends were the oldest in their family, so they didn't grow up with siblings that they weren't just constantly surrounded by Star Wars toys and merchandising in the movies. I was born in a time where we owned all three movies that were out at the time on disc. Jedi was the first movie I saw in the theater.
I have them on VHS.
The toys were all over the place. You can go to any of the movies and start watching them. So we were just completely surrounded by Star Wars. Everybody was into it. So for Jar Jar Binks to be the character that you're supposed to really love in the next thing about the Star Wars universe that came out was so disappointing.
He looks very CGI too.
It's not good CGI, and we knew it wasn't good CGI at the time.
It looks worse than I remember now, though.
Yeah,
and this isn't even on a big screen. Oh, they gave themselves mustaches.
Ooh, jump cut, big time. Ooh.
Okie dokie. So now we're under the sea. Yeah, if only Sebastian and the gang could come and rescue this.
Not even.
So we're going to Gungan City.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I guess, Cloud City, but underwater.
Yeah, it's underwater Bespin. And,
where's Lobot?
Looks a lot like the little alien society at the end of The Abyss, where there's nothing unique going on here.
Oh,
really,
speaking of The Abyss, there you go.
Yeah,
kind of looks.
See? There it is. Hey, George, when you got bad special effects, don't reference a movie with better special effects that have already done it.
I have that one on VHS, too.
I had special edition. Does it come in a little
It's right over
case?
There next to Santa Claus the Movie, one of our favorite
One of our previous
episodes.
Holiday. That was last year's that holiday last episode. Year. Yeah. And that's, I think, why I love that we're doing this right now, is because, obviously,
Captain Tarples.
Rise of Skywalker just came out, and it's also just after Christmas. It's right before the New Year. I think this is a great thing to be watching.
They said big doo-doo.
Big doo-doo, they did.
You said big doo-doo.
Because doo-doo is... It's known the galaxy over for meaning shit.
I'm pretty sure Lucas just watched a bunch of episodes of Full House and based most...
How wooed!
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Base most of the Gungans, and especially Jar Jar, on Michelle.
Does he ask for some Ausqueam later?
Oh, God. He probably does.
You got it, dude. And if Boss Nass says, have mercy. So, Boss Nass, if I remember right, Brian Blessed.
Yeah, that's
another
true.
Another former Flash Gordon, and that's... the original Star Wars was based or inspired by the original Flash Gordon.
Serials like Flash Gordon, yeah.
And this guy was in the Flash Gordon movie as the Hawk Man.
Yeah. About basically, it's the same character, only one's a hawk and one's...
And he shakes his jowls.
Yeah.
Because yep. He's like a big bullfrog.
Bares his teeth, shakes his jowls. One's an amphibian.
The speediest.
So they're Rastafarian, essentially.
Right.
It's, everything is just racist in this movie, right?
Bumbleclot.
Thank you for your help. We leave in peace.
Master, what's a bunga? We live right near the beach, underneath.
Master, what's a dick for?
Going through the planet core?
For fucking.
Or to pee with. Depends on if you're telling a kid or your
right.
friend when you're drunk.
Master, we're short on time.
We need a navigator to get us through the planet's core. This bunga may be of help.
Oh, Qui-Gon.
What is to become... Liam Neeson, rumor has it, agreed to do this movie without reading the script. He just wanted to be in a Star Wars movie, and pretty much everybody from this movie regretted being in it. Everybody Alec Guinness, big time.
Yeah.
Everybody said that it was just, you know, especially with this one, they were just working against a green screen all the time.
Uh-huh.
They weren't, as we said before, getting any direction from George Lucas. They didn't know what the characters were doing, why they were doing it, what they were building up to. Oh, that thing.
Be gone with him.
Okay. Thanks.
Count me out of this one. Better dead here than dead in the core. Ye gods! What's Amisa saying?
And Jar Jar's voice is provided by Ahmed Best. And the reason I know that, I don't know.
Me neither. I read an interview with him years ago that he, the inspiration for the voice was Elmo. That he thought, at which
Slave
you can hear
Elmo?
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching, I don't know, one of the late night talk shows. It was probably Jay Leno. It was probably one of the few things Jay Leno did that made me laugh. But we were at Comic-Con, and they were talking about, like, a new Jar Jar Binks plantation playset. And they were like, oh, Misa gonna pick it to cotton.
Oh, God.
And it was just like, yep, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's the voice he's doing. Oh, this is that excellent scene where the same thing happens twice in a row, and it's never exciting.
Okay, so we have captions on, like we always do, and we're reading Jar Jar's dialogue, and it is gibberish. It's like a bunch of somewhat normal words, but not quite, and you can kind of figure out what they mean, but nobody else in the galaxy speaks that way. They all use regular English.
Yeah.
And are usually British. In a galaxy far, far away a long time ago. They speak the Queen's English.
Yeah.
Except for Gungans.
I'm not sure why hell is a thing that's constantly referenced in the Star Wars universe. So, you know,
no
I'll
Jesus,
see you
though.
In hell. Yeah, they never reference Jesus, but they reference hell. So... Huh. The idea that in the Star Wars universe there is a heaven or hell, but there's no religious connection to it. It's not ever talked about spiritually, just in the sense that they're like, "I'll see you in hell."
Oh, who's this guy looking like Emperor Palpatine?
Yeah, I don't know. This will be a big reveal, I'm sure.
Oh in Darth Sidious prequel trilogy is what they were calling him.
I wonder what one could infer from a name like that. Must be a wonderful guy.
He's dark and he's Sidious.
And he has a speech impediment.
Stinko whiff. I think Jar Jar is making my stomach upset.
So they were attacked by one giant fish that then ate a different
goober fish.
A goober fish.
Yeah.
And so that's the last thing we saw these characters go through is get attacked by a big fish.
Oh, they know how to hotwire vehicles. That's a Jedi trick.
Oh, look, they're getting attacked by another
fish. That's three big fish.
Yeah.
Real big fish.
Oh, my God. He just Vulcan death pinched him. Thank God.
More bad CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, four big fish.
Oh, look.
See, this would lend itself well to the Star Tours ride at Disney World, maybe. And I think there is a sequence where you do go to Naboo. Or, yeah,
Gungan City. Because Amidala wanted to.
Yeah. But what's cool about that ride, have you ever been to Disney World or Disneyland? I went on it the first time in like 98. So before episode one was even out, and it was a totally different ride than when I went back last year. Now you don't have the same ride every single time. You get a randomizer and it puts three action sequences together.
Well, that's just good marketing.
Yeah. So like, we went on it once, and we were like, oh, yeah, let's do it again and see what happens. We went on it again, got the same exact combination, and I was like, well, that's weird. I was told it was different, so we did it again, totally different.
Okay.
So we just had a really weird luck of the draw the first two times.
That is cool. They let you just stay on it and go again because you were like, hey, that's the last one.
We ended up riding it like five times total because there wasn't a long wait. We were like just jumping through. And, yeah, it was kind of cool. It's like, oh, now you're in Gungan City and now you're, you know, flying to blow up the Death Star and then all these kind of things.
I was at Disney World in, I want to say 89, maybe it was 90, and Star Tours was a thing then, but I'm guessing even then it was different than the one you saw in 98.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how often they switch that, obviously, but...
Well, I mean, they've got stuff from Last Jedi in it as of last year.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, can't talk about it because it hasn't happened yet, obviously.
Yeah.
We're at the very beginning.
Which, I mean, I'm sure we'll, as we get deeper and deeper into this pile of Star Wars... We'll start referencing the movies that come later, but where we're at right now is they've gone through the core, and oh god, there's that trick that once is enough. You don't need to keep doing the splits. Alright. So battle droids, worse than stormtroopers. They not only are they horrible shots, they just forget to shoot.
And also,
they'll just stand around for about 10 to 12 seconds before they decide to fire at the thing that's attacking them.
One of those summary druids is Natalie Portman.
Mm.
As you can see her on the left of the screen there on the last wide shot.
Yep.
All the way over. If this was full screen, she would be cut out.
Now, didn't they use multiple decoys? I don't think Keira Knightley was every decoy. Because I don't think this is Keira Knightley right now.
Oh, as the queen?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really look like her.
Well, maybe that is her.
Could be. I'm used to seeing her older, so. And without that shit on her face.
Yeah, that's true. I think she was only like 14 when she was in this.
But that's definitely Natalie Portman, who I recognize young because The Professional.
Yeah.
And she was also one of those actresses that was about my age, so I, you know, she was talented and cute, so kind of had a crush on her.
Yep, that's one of our Mount Rushmores that we've discussed. That's a well, I don't know if she was Mount Rushmore. I
no,
know she was a crush.
That was more of like the 80s ladies that were all older than me.
Okay,
you know, if I made like a age appropriate Mount Rushmore, yeah, she'd probably be on there. But now I'm 38, so I mean, I have a wider range now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
we were discussing this last night. Brianna and I were we did the double kick there.
Mm-hmm.
We were watching a movie where some characters had like a 15-year age gap, and I'm like, "Yeah, it depends on which way you're swinging that. Like if it's a 20-year-old and a 35-year-old, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah.
If it's a 40-year-old and a 25, you're still probably going to have some issues. But once you hit like 30 and you're 45, I don't think that's as big of a deal.
Yeah. That one I could see. It depends on... it kind of depends on who the younger one is.
Right. But, yeah, I was saying how anything more than like a decade is too much for me. When I was single and dating, they could not be closer to my daughter's age than my age. And my daughter and I are 20 years apart, so that's the 10-year rule.
Yeah, there's that whole, when you're younger, you have that, you know, age doesn't matter outlook on life. Right. And when you're older, you're like, eh, context
like
matters.
Like Aaliyah and R. Kelly.
Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah. That was the song. Age ain't nothing but, oh, hey, is that R2-D1 and R2-D2?
I think so. Poor D1.
Yep. R2's never brother. Had a shot.
So sad.
Oh, there he goes.
All right. Well, and R2 doesn't even care. He's a cold motherfucker.
Can't get the shield generator fixed, we'll be sitting ducks.
They have ducks in that galaxy? I haven't seen one creature that resembles a duck.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have falcons, too. They have ducks and falcons.
Yeah. Where are they? In all never these movies, them. They should have just at least put a duck in somewhere.
Not a lot of bird people. I'm guessing that the special effects just didn't allow it. A lot of fish people, a lot of mammal people.
Oh, that's Rick Oley.
Obviously.
I know that because I had his action figure. I don't know if they were trying to make him the Wedge Antilles of this trilogy, or...
Wedge Antilles is the most underdeveloped, interesting character of all time.
How about Biggs?
Yeah, both of them.
Biggs, well, again, we'll get more into that down the road, but he was pretty much cut out of the whole movie.
Yeah, he's just gone.
I had the original script for A New Hope, and read it, and the book.
Had it, don't have it anymore?
I think I still have it. I just don't know where it is. But I bought it at Suncoast.
Mm-hmm.
And they had these cool bound Suncoast versions of the Star Wars scripts, the original trilogy. And A New Hope is the only one I bought. My cousin had all of them.
That's really the most interesting one. Back when Luke was still Luke Starkiller?
Yeah. All right, so more boring shit with these guys. Where
we always seem to get back to the movie during the boring trade dispute.
He is.
Oh, God. I take it back. This Darth is the most Maul. Interesting, underdeveloped character of all time.
Yeah, so played by Ray Park. Mm-hmm. I met him.
Toad from X-Men.
Yep. And the Headless Horseman from
Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
He was a martial artist and stuntman who got the role. I read some bullshit that Benicio del Toro was considered for Darth Maul.
Yeah.
I don't see him doing any of that martial arts stuff. This would have been around Fear and Loathing.
Yeah. Yeah. Where he was Dr. 45 pounds.
Can you picture Dr. Gonzo?
Heavier than usual.
In a double lightsaber battle?
Yeah.
I don't think so. There's R2. So, I met Ray Park at Comic-Con, and I have my picture with him, had him sign my Darth Maul action figure, which I still have, and that is Keira.
Yeah, that's Keira.
Once she smiled.
Yeah.
And the guy held up the sign that said, was the Love Actually thing, to me you're perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew Lincoln.
Yeah.
Held
Rick
up that
Grimes.
Sign. Rick Grimes.
I stopped watching Walking Dead after like season 5. I haven't seen it in years.
So you missed all the Negan stuff?
Yeah. I read the comics, though, so... I mean,
I had a hard time getting into the comics.
Really?
I gave him a chance, and... I don't know. I liked the TV show more when it first came out.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see what Natalie's got to work with here.
Now, did you read the Star Wars comics? Did you ever get into any of the non-canon comic stuff?
Not really. When Marvel rebooted the Star Wars comics a few years ago, I read some of those, and I did get some of the miniseries and stuff back around when the prequels were starting, because the hype was real, and... I don't know.
Tatooine.
Yeah, I also never really got into too many of the books. I read some of the really big ones.
Like the Timothy Zahn ones, Heir to the Empire.
Shadows of the Empire, I think, was one.
I think Shadows was the, I don't think it was Timothy Zahn, but that was, that was the Nintendo 64 game that was
okay.
Fucking awesome. That was a great video game.
There's another Nintendo 64 game based on something that happens later in this movie that I really enjoyed, and we can discuss that later, too. I guess that's one good thing that came out of this movie. But, yeah, I don't know. I read some of the one-offs, like Tales from the Cantina, mm-hmm. where you got a little short story about all the aliens in the cantina. I read a Han Solo trilogy that was supposed to take place before Star Wars. Nothing like the Solo movie.
Right.
So yeah, I read some of them, but I didn't get balls deep into it.
I read the Timothy Zahn books, which were, I believe it was called Heir to the Empire.
Okay.
I can't think of the names of the other ones.
There's Jawas.
Yep, here we're at Tatooine now, speaking back of Phantom Menace. But yeah, the reason I asked is I got into some of that spin-off stuff, mm-hmm. even like some of the young adult books when I was like real young, when I was like 12, that had things that came out, like Darth Vader's gloves somehow had mysterious powers that somebody found, like weird shit like that. So I read a bunch of that spin-off stuff, and you know, it was such a vast universe, you could go anywhere with it, galaxy I should say, and... It bothered me that when I saw this, it's just like, oh wait, they're back to Tatooine? Like, Luke's roots are on Tatooine? I thought he was in hiding.
Yeah.
So they hid him where he's from? his dad's right. from Tatooine and never thinks, we're looking for this Skywalker kid.
Wait, he just said Nubian.
Did he say Nubian?
What's a Nubian?
Shut the fuck up.
And here we have Watto and Little Billy Corgan. Jake Lloyd, who did grow up to kind of look like Billy Corgan, I believe is also from Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, God. This movie pretty much killed his career. He was
in childhood.
Yeah, he was in Jingle All the Way. You can totally tell that.
3PO in the back.
Computer animated there.
You can see 3PO's shell in the back to the left.
Are you an angel? He's already...
A little fucking creep.
Yeah.
He's wearing Ed Hardy underneath that robe.
Trying to spit game at me. I'm a motherfucking queen. You don't even have pubes yet.
Well, I don't know. I mean, every decision in this movie is just wrong to me. Why would you make Anakin this young? He should have been
right.
at that age where angst is already setting in.
Yeah.
And there was no way to guide him to the right side of the Force. And by the way, how young is too young to start Jedi training? Because that's a conversation to have later. Oh, he's too old. Or, I mean, how old is too old to start Jedi training?
You gotta be a youngling.
Yeah, like... Younglings. We'll get there, too. Well, this little guy, he pops up again later.
Hey! Hit the nose!
Boop! Okay.
All right.
So we're at a junkyard.
There's an insect robot, insect droid in the back that's just pushing levers back and forth. Sing,
witch. I like his facial hair. I have 20,000
Republic credits. Republic credits? Yeah, he's got a little soul patch, neck beard thing going on.
Total neck beard.
I like his racist accent. How many racist accents are there in this movie?
Yeah. Is he supposed to be Italian?
No, they won't. What, you think you're some kind of Jedi waving your hand around like that? I'm a Toydarian. My tricks don't work on me. Only money. No money, no parts.
That's what his action figure said. They
no
all
money,
came.
No parts.
They all came with chips that when you put on one of their communicator, they would talk. Yeah. And I didn't open mine, but we had a display thing in the toy aisle, so you could like put them on there.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember Amidala's just said, "I'm Queen Amidala," in a really weird, creepy voice.
And a fun bonus fact: if I remember correctly, Pekin native. Larry Kinney, voice of Lion-O,
mm-hmm.
and Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and a bunch of them. He did some of the voices for the voice chip. like Obi-Wan's
I didn't
lines.
Know that.
They didn't pull them from the movie.
Yeah,
they were like re-read.
Which I thought they sounded weird. No wonder. That's yeah, why Natalie Portman sounded like Riff Raff from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Richard O'Brien.
Yeah, Bruce. She sounded like Richard O'Brien. She was like, I'm Queen Amidala. I've got to keep control.
Speaking of which, friend of the show, past guest, George, requested we do Rocky Horror at some point.
Oh, hey. All right.
Road. George may be dropping by later today. We've got a few people that have said they might be up for coming and hanging out a little bit. We will introduce them as they appear.
And again, because I was the youngest in the family and most of my friends growing up were all like the oldest in their family, I didn't have grade school friends and like childhood friends that were into Star Wars.
Yeah.
All the people I knew into Star Wars were my brothers, my cousins,
yeah,
and none of them live in the area. So Gabe, Chuck, Angela, Rick, Josie. Well, Jeff, you're my brother, you're around. Right. You might be stopping by later.
Oh, okay, cool. So that's Sebulba. He walks on his hands, which is an interesting choice.
Let's hear his accent. He looks... I feel like he's pretty much Danny Trejo.
Machete?
Your buddy here was about to be turned into orange goo. He picked a fight with a dog, an especially dangerous dog called Sebulba.
Misa hating crunchy. That's the last thing Misa wants.
Oh, boy.
Nevertheless, he's right. You're heading into trouble.
So, have you ever done a Star Wars marathon before?
A few weeks ago, and I think this is what inspired the idea on my end. I was coming down with a cold, and Rise of Skywalker was coming out, and I was like, you know what? If I'm just going to be in bed sick, just got Disney Plus.
Right.
I was like, might as well watch these again and see what they're like. But I was on cold medicine, so I couldn't tell if I was hallucinating or if this movie is as bad as I remember it being. Because I haven't watched this since back when I was in the sketch comedy show days. Were you around for the show when we did a screening of The Phantom Menace? Because you could legally pay, you could charge someone to come watch a movie if it was for educational purposes or was in some way part of a seminar. And we were doing a show that was like a 24-hour fundraiser.
Was this Manic Depressive Theater?
This was The Roost. Okay. It was the days when we were under the name of The Roost. And we did part of a 24-hour charity event, essentially, was to watch this movie. And my brother and I and Matt were making the case that it qualifies as potentially the worst movie of all time.
Oh, man. Oh, there's Shmi.
Captain Hook's sidekick.
Yeah, exactly.
Bob Hoskins. Shmi Skywalker.
Shmi
Skywalker.
It's like S-H-M-I. She had an action figure, too. Because, of course she did.
Of course, Luke and Leia's mom, you know?
No, or Grandma.
Grandma.
Graham Skywalker.
It's not like I called it Star Trek.
So there's a right. naked 3PO.
Why did he build 3PO and not R2-D2? If you want Anakin Skywalker to have built one of the two droids that's in every movie, you can make that argument. You can make a case for him building a utility droid that he would need as, you know, a mechanic who's building ships and a fucking pilot. He could use an R2 navigator / utility droid. What's he going to do with a protocol droid? Why did he build 3PO, not R2-D2? This makes no sense.
Yeah.
And Luke and R2 had a special connection. That connection would have been even more meaningful had he been built by Luke's dad.
Well, didn't they buy R2 off from the Jawas? And they already had 3PO, Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru?
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
but still, there was this like connection between them.
I don't know
them.
If that's why they're like, well, this is the droid they already had in the family, so we gotta... Gotta keep it there.
Like, he's a family butler more than anything. Right. Send no reply. Send no transmissions of any kind.
It sounds like bait. So that's a lady Bic razor.
A Gillette.
Yeah, that's what it is, Gillette.
I could tell when this came out. When I, in the theaters, I was like, is that one of those Gillette razors that... It was like, you know, they were like little pink razors. All they did was spray paint it silver.
Is this Coruscant?
This is Coruscant, yeah.
Why do I know that?
This is Chris Gaunt.
Yeah. Okay, so here's Darth Maul, and it's not Ray Park's voice.
Yeah. You will then have no difficulty. Ray Park had a heavy accent.
To Naboo to sign the treaty.
At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
You have been well trained, my young apprentice. They will be no match for you.
Does he not have any makeup on his neck? It looked like Darth Maul. Like they did, forgot to put makeup on Ray Park's neck.
And his eyes are all red, and you may think those are contacts. No, just really fucked up.
He's just really high.
Oh, we're drinking some blue milk? No.
No. They did not milk it themselves. I like they're just typical 70s plastic Tupperware.
Yep. We must survive in our
lives. Wait, does Shmi have a warp core in the background over her shoulder? Has anybody ever seen a pod race? We'll have to go back to Shmi before we can tell.
They have grapes in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. You must have Jedi reflexes if you ate spots. Don't do that again. So much time is spent on Jar Jar being a fucking fool.
Being Jar Jar.
And we get like no backstory on Shmi at all. Just that, you know,
she's the Anakin happened Mary
by Immaculate Conception. That's it.
Star Wars.
Yep.
Galaxy.
Which, of course, there are theories as to that. I don't, you know. We'll get there. It's so hard to not just like go right to the stuff I want to talk about.
Are Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan two of the wise men?
I think so, yeah. I guess Jar Jar is the third.
We three kings of Orient are.
He's the one that brought frankincense. And they were like, dude.
Misa bring a frankincense. Make a baby smell real good. Misa make a baby frankincense. Misa make a baby monster.
I don't know if you've ever heard the Aqua Teen Hunger Force Christmas album. It's amazing. But there is a track on there where Master Shake retells the story of baby Jesus and the Christmas origin story. And it's pretty funny. Like, he gives baby Jesus laser beam eyes and calls out the wise men for bringing spices to a baby. Like... I'm going to change your diaper and put some myrrh on you, you know. Like, who brings spices to a dumb baby? It's pretty funny. You should check it out. There's also a song that Meatwad sings called Santa Put a Booger in My Stocking.
I've heard that.
Nico Case does the duet with him. So bowl cuts existed in a galaxy far, far away, too.
I saw a great cut. Somebody cut this scene where they're like plotting how they're going to do this, and then it just cuts to the opening credits of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, it's the gang plotting their trick for the episode.
So, have you ever heard of the Phantom Edit?
Yes.
Okay.
I watched the Phantom Edit a few years ago, and it was more enjoyable. It really was.
Yeah. It was made by a guy named Mike Nichols.
Mm-hmm. Not the famous director, by the way.
No.
Not the director of The Graduate and The Birdcage.
But I have 1 degree of separation from this guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's from the Nashville area, and former guest on the show, Denny, from the band The Great Affairs, mm-hmm. my former boss at Co-op. Mike has done all of their music videos.
Oh, wow.
They're buds. And he is the Phantom editor. And I remember when he told me that, I was like, no shit. And he's like, yeah, like that thing blew up way bigger than he ever thought it mm-hmm. would. And I'm like, that's really cool. So yeah, the Phantom editor himself has done all the music videos for a past guest of this show.
Nice.
So we may have even discussed it on the Detroit Rock City episode. I don't remember. It was so long ago and so many beers ago. So, but that was a fun episode. But Denny's got a new solo album out. You should go check it out.
Even the ships look boring in this movie.
Yeah. It looked very aerodynamic, at least.
And I remember thinking that, too, that the ships looked like they were built after the ships from the original trilogy.
Yeah, like, they're a little too smooth looking.
Yeah, they're refined. More aerodynamic, and they're not all boxy, like, you know, they don't have that 70s boxy design that the ships had in the 70s.
Well, see, what happened is the ones from the trilogy we grew up with, those were retro vehicles.
Right.
Like, they regressed, and they were like, let's bring back the old school.
You know, the Rebel Alliance didn't have the funds for newer technology and newer ships. They had to refit older ships. Mm-hmm. That's why it looked that way. It's, yeah, there was thought put into it.
You know, it's that cycle of every 20, 30 years, the old styles come back around, you know, because everybody's going to be driving Model Ts again.
Yeah.
Those are going to make a big comeback. It's going to be the roaring 20s again. Today. This comes out on New Year's Day.
See, so 3PO's shell is back there.
Yeah, well, we saw that. Evidently, that's just what all protocol droids look like.
Yeah. So I just wonder, I mean, 3PO is basically complete. Why, so I guess by the time it gets to the second one, Shmi has just thrown his clothes on? Like,
I guess. Shimmy.
Shimmy.
Shimmy, shimmy, coco pop.
Shimmy, shimmy, shimmy rock. I met a girlfriend, a Trisket.
She's a biscuit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here we go. This is the, this is some bullshit right
here.
Here's
the explanation as to where what ends up being one of the most powerful people in the galaxy came from.
He has special powers.
Yes.
He can see things before they happen. That's why he appears to have such quick reflexes. It's a Jedi trait.
He deserves better than a slave's life.
Had he been born in the Republic, we would have identified him early. The Force is unusually strong with him. That much is clear. Who was his father?
Jar Jar.
There was no
father. I just don't want to say.
I carried him. I gave birth. I raised him.
I dropped him.
What I'm trying to tell you is, I'm very lonely. I've never been fucked. Jedi man. Come touch me.
I didn't actually come here to free slaves.
What a dickish thing for a Jedi to say. Like...
But if we're talking about getting my lightsaber wet, then we can talk. Hey, it's Little Fat Greedo, who I believe is played by Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
So here we go, another stupid Jar Jar bit.
Yeah, a great Jar Jar moment. Great moments in Jar Jar history.
What? With this?
Oh, no, you're okay, Abby.
Wait, how come he talks like Jar Jar?
Never gonna run.
Come on, let's go and play ball. Keep racing.
They couldn't even pan to the kids before they started saying their lines. Mm-mm. Like, the kids could not wait. Have a wide shot. So that way they're all in frame. So that way they can at least...
Yeah, I don't think George Lucas worked with a cinematographer. He did not have Richard Donner.
Here we go.
Oh.
My tongue is fat.
Pretty hot and tempting. Oh, good.
Now
there's
his hand's
more.
Stuck.
Now he walks in bear trap, leans on wet paint, steps on a landmine,
gets his dick stuck to a frosty pole. Hey, so, see, there been any guys around here hanging out with your mom? Just, what's her story? I know she's a slave, so... Which, hey, if they're slaves, they have their own house. That's not too bad,
this
right?
This doesn't seem like
Are
slavery.
We all slaves?
I don't know.
Like he has a job.
Right. That wasn't Watu's house that we're hanging out in, right? That was her own. Those were her quarters.
That's
like,
their that's hut.
Their hut looks exactly like Uncle Skywalkers. Owen and Aunt Maru's hut. I mean, it looks like she's got... decent life for
a
slave.
It's a split level.
I'm using finger quotes right now for those listening.
I mean, she's got doors on the upper level and everything. Oh, and there we have the wipe, the famous Star Wars wipes, which they kept those
this
through.
This movie is a wipe, all right. Ewan McGregor walks in. They're reenacting Train Spotting.
What are you doing with that boy? Is he crawling on the ceiling?
I'm going to be the first one to see them all.
Oh, no. You're going to see things, kid. This will sting just a little.
Don't mind me. I'm just taking blood samples.
I'm not going to tell you again.
Stop doing heroin with that man.
Checking your blood for infections.
Turns out you are HIV positive.
Oh. Obi-Wan?
Yes, Master.
I need an analysis of this blood sample I'm sending you.
Wait a minute.
He literally takes 60 seconds.
My God, he's a werewolf! His mother was a jackal!
Over 20,000.
Even Master Yoda doesn't have a midichlorian count.
Midichlorians.
Midichlorians.
First time they've been mentioned. Now,
and
you hear MIDI.
The only movie, I believe, they're technically mentioned.
MIDI is a type of music file from back in the day.
Yes. He's MIDI compatible. That's awesome.
So, that's Darth Maul, right?
This is Darth Maul's ship.
Which looks like a cross between a TIE fighter and the Flight of the Navigator vehicle.
It's kind of a TIE interceptor, but with a long nose. I think it's the predecessor to to Vader's interceptor.
So, we now see Darth Maul's got these cool-ass horns on his head.
Yeah.
Looking like a devil.
Looking like the Ice King, only, you know.
Do you know what his race or species is?
I forget what it's called.
And he is more prominent in some of the animated series,
yes,
correct?
Yes, he even though he seems to die at the end of this, he's resurrected with spider legs in the Clone Wars. So you never watched much of the Clone Wars?
No, I need to watch more of the animated stuff. I have not delved into that at all. Now that all the movies are done for
I'm
the
going
most
to prepare
part.
You when you watch the Clone Wars. Okay. It's parts of it are really interesting. It really is fun. A lot of the dialogue is so much dirtier than I think.
Like, they talk about butts and stuff?
They talk about coming a lot. And
really?
At first, I thought it was just kind of like, oh, it's just, I have a dirty mind because, you know, oh, the Jedi are coming closer, her struggling in handcuffs going, you know, my master is coming, things like that. Well, I was
speaking
like,
of coming, there's a couple Twi'leks rubbing a Doug.
Yeah, the
rubbing a Doug down. Well,
rubbing
I mean,
Doug.
Their outfits, I'm surprised we didn't see nipple.
But yeah, so at first I just thought, okay, I just have a dirty mind. But then one of the characters, what she means to say when she's showing somebody the Jedi Temple for the first time, mm-hmm. or the holocrons, holocrons, whatever they were called, she means to say, I myself haven't been inside for years.
Uh-huh.
That's the proper way to say
it. Gotcha.
What she says is, I haven't been inside myself for years.
Oh, wow.
And the moment I heard it, I was like, okay, I think the writers were just having a good time. And they were like, how dirty can we make this dialogue sound? At one point, someone starts to say, he's like, all right, what you want to do is move up the shaft. And someone goes, excuse me, and cuts him off. And you're like, okay, I think this was intentional.
Oh. Qui-Gon used his magic tricks.
Now, is that...
That's cheating.
Yeah, that's not very Jedi-like. That's cheating in a gamble.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now it is to free a slave.
That's true. But it's only to free one slave, not the other.
Yeah, he don't...
But he had no control.
He hit it and
that.
Quit it with Shmi. He's ready to get out.
I don't know. I feel like... that's usually how you avoid having a child. And he ends up adopting one instead.
Foreshadowing. Oh, yeah, wizard as an adjective. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. I totally forgot about that, too. Didn't catch on.
Kitster needs to stop talking shit to Padme.
He's... Kitster's trying to cock block Anakin.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, it's one of those things that inspired the Boneheads.
Yeah, when I've seen some of these movies so many times, I don't even pay attention to what's actually going on, you know, in the foreground. I'm all background. Oh, and this is Greg Proops.
Greg Proops as one of the heads.
Yeah.
I wish Ryan Stiles were the other.
Yeah. Whose line is it anyway?
Uh-huh.
So this is the game that I was talking about. I had the pod racing game.
Okay.
I'm not a huge gamer unless we're talking old school Atari and NES.
Yeah,
but
me too.
I did have a 64, and
there was a cool pod racing game
that I enjoy racing games and fighting games and usually sport games because there's not an arc.
Yeah,
I can play it for an hour and stop. And then not play it for two weeks, and then play it again.
Yeah, I completely agree. LucasArts was great at developing games that
had a bunch
had
of computer
good flight
games
simulators.
Too.
The Star Wars flight simulators are always fun. They're usually the best parts of.
I don't recognize this one.
Me neither.
This must be added in.
I think so. That's new.
I recognize him.
Uh huh.
Because he was in the game. So we're already seeing one difference here. That it could have been in the 3D version, but again, I only saw that once.
What's with that guy's crooked fake soul patch?
I don't know. Odie Mandrell, brother of Barbara, famous country singer in a galaxy far, far away, and then slapstick from there.
Wasn't Odie Mandrell also in... he was in Shadows of the Empire, I thought.
Could be. So yeah, all these racers were in the video game. You, of course, were always Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I remember that game being pretty fun.
Yeah.
Oh, farts.
Oh, yeah. Yep, fart jokes.
Piusa. Okay. There's farting in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. So, that... occurred.
Wow. Oh,
that ship looks pretty fake, actually. When you look closely at the detail on it, it looked like a blown-up model.
Yeah. Oh, he's a Hutt? Or he just speaks Huttese? Because he doesn't look like a Hutt. He's a Doug.
Yep. He got legs.
Poodoo.
I remember seeing this in the theater, and I kept... There were just moments where I was like, oh, I think it's about to get good. I kept thinking that it was an intentional choice made by Lucas for the beginning of the movie to feel
long
and innocent and adolescent, because that's Vader's journey as he begins in innocence and adolescence.
Oh, we're almost an hour in.
Almost, yeah. This is the point, and when I saw this in the theater, where I was like, okay, it's going to pick up right now. Like, all of that was intentional. I just kept wishing and hoping that it was going to get good, and it never
does. There he is.
There's Jabba.
With some punk rock slave girl wearing Leia's bikini top.
And it looks like Jabba's wife in the back.
Oh, yeah. Or sister? I don't know. And there's another punk rocker with Liberty spikes. And she's half leopard, apparently. And a thicker girl.
She's like
most of them you see are you know thin and whatever.
She was a thicker goth Trill.
Yeah,
I'm seeing weird Star Trek crossovers into this movie. There was a core reactor, a warp core reactor behind Shmi earlier.
Is that all Padme's hair? Like, has she never cut her hair since birth? Because that's a lot of hair.
Yeah. Well, you got to put it up in curly buns somehow.
And then it makes you wonder, in a galaxy far, far away, what kind of personal hygiene's going on if we're not cutting hair.
Yeah. But I think that's an intentional style at the top, so.
Well, because, you know, like, Obi-Wan can't cut his until he's allowed to.
Mm-hmm. But that's a spiritual decision.
That's true.
Yeah. That's by choice. That's not just a hygiene fad.
So here we go. One of the best parts of this movie. And let's see how long it takes. Does it make the past hour worth it? All right, this is literally starting like an hour into the movie.
Wow, we're an hour in.
It's what? Oh, there's Warwick.
There's Warwick right there. Oh, and there's our Trill goth thick chick again.
Yeah.
I like your style.
So...
Oh, no. No,
that's
no.
That's literally what he just said.
So Sebulba has sabotaged Anakin's pod. Oh. That's pretty good fake acting from Warwick, because he's just pointing at nothing right now with the green screen behind
him. And there's nothing around him. He's just standing
by himself. That was just him. He was the only living thing in this.
Oh, yeah, this Quadrinos guy's going to blow up.
Oh, I thought that was one of the Mucinex guys.
Yeah, voiced by T.J. Miller. And now I think it's Jason Mantzoukas.
Oh, did TJ get fired for making the bomb threat?
TJ got fired, and now it's Heinong Man, which I think Mantzoukas is funny too.
Yeah, I actually love him.
I think I like him better than TJ Miller.
I definitely do. No offense, TJ, but what kind of think of his name? Brooklyn Nine-Nine is one of the funniest characters of all time.
See, I used to watch The League where he played Rafi, and he's insane.
Adrian
on that show.
Pimento, that's his name in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I still haven't watched that.
I wish he were my spirit animal,
but
I'm not that
thing.
Cool.
Like a very big character that just had a cameo there, and it was like, oh, she's going to be somebody, and she got developed in the extended universe, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't think she's in the movies again at all. She was supposed to be like some bounty hunter or something. My cousin Paul...
Well, that shot was basically the video game. This whole scene is for the video game.
Yeah.
That's why this scene exists. It does not in any way establish that Anakin is a good pilot, because he's not really piloting much.
Right.
And we find out later on when he does pilot, he doesn't actually know how to use the plane. He hits a bunch of buttons and accidentally does shit.
Oh, there's Tusken Raiders. Tusken Raiders. They're snipers.
For no reason. They're just hunting, but not collecting what they kill. They're just a worthless cameo.
So anytime...
Oh, we're going to get to this in A New Hope, but that whole them shaking their weapons... That was created in post-production.
Still there.
Yep.
These bit characters, and there are many of them. My cousin Paul has, a signed 8x10 of all of them. Any of them that have ever, shown up at a con, he has either, his picture with them and an autographed picture... And he's got them, in a binder. He has so many, it would pretty much cover his entire walls of every room in his apartment. But he doesn't display them like I do. And any Star Wars signatures I have, aside from Lando, the patron saint of Drunken Lullaby Studios, are in a book. I have a Star Wars encyclopedia. And when I met... David Prowse, who played Darth Vader, Anthony Daniels, who played C-3PO, Jeremy Bullock, who played Boba Fett, Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca, all of them signed on their respective pages in my book.
And even though he was not just seen, he was mentioned, I'm going to raise a glass, please join me too, Peter Mayhew.
R.I.P. Chewie. So, years later... I kind of wish I would have just gotten a standard 8x10 and have them up on the wall.
Yeah.
But I thought it'd be cool to all have them together in this one book.
Yeah. If you haven't picked up by now through listening to the many podcasts, Dustin is a... I grew up with everything Star Wars. I had a lot of Star Wars stuff. And I don't think that I can even hold a flame to your knowledge of the Star Wars universe. Or galaxy.
It has its limits. I will say that the next two movies we are going to be watching after this, I've probably only seen once or twice at most.
Oh, yeah?
I know the second one, I think I've seen twice. The third one, I have not seen since opening night at the theater.
Interesting. And we're going to talk at some point, we haven't discussed this yet, when is the appropriate time to really get into it, your preference in order...
If I'm going to watch Star Wars, rankings?
Yeah.
Should we maybe wait for the very last episode?
Yeah, to really
honestly,
explain
with having only
how we feel
seen,
about it.
I've only seen episode 3 once, I've only seen Rogue One once, and Solo once, but I know how I feel about those movies, and I've seen them more recently.
Yeah.
But some of those I haven't seen as many times. Last Jedi I've only seen twice. I've seen the new one twice in 1 week since its release. I've seen it twice. I went back and watched it in 3D IMAX, and it was awesome. Definitely added to my enjoyment on some parts of it. Also, another thing I enjoyed was the people in front of me weren't on their cell phones for the first 8 minutes of the movie.
Which happened the first time you saw it.
Yeah, opening night. I went to see it because I see every movie opening night. And half-hour previews. The movie's finally ready to start. The lights go down. The Lucasfilm thing comes up. The girl in front of me and to the left turns her phone on and starts, like, texting. Her boyfriend, I'm assuming, sitting in front of me. Now, I'm not stereotyping. She was Asian. I'm thinking there may be some sort of language barrier. And I don't know if she had no idea what Star Wars was and was just tagging along because her boyfriend dragged her to this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to go, so you need to come with me. Because she seemed to have no intention of watching this movie.
Okay.
I thought at first she got a text message. There was an emergency.
Right.
It was poor timing right at the beginning of the movie. I kept waiting for her to get up and leave to go make a phone call or something. She's still texting.
Yeah.
It's lit up in my peripheral. I'm amazed. Once I notice something like that, I fixate on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't see anything but that.
I feel the exact same way. I'm amazed how many people just think, oh, well, I mean, it's not like I'm talking on the phone. I can just text during a movie. No, turn your fucking phone off.
The only time
I leave mine in my car.
I will take mine in, and that's usually because...
Well, you've got kids. You've got a family.
That, and also I go mostly on Thursday afternoons, and I usually have the theater to myself.
Yeah.
So if I'm bored... I'll send a text message or something. I'm not distracting anybody. I'm the only one there.
Yeah.
Or at the least, there's a couple other people, and they're sitting in front of me.
Yeah, but when
so
you're
I'm
at
not
opening night
opening
of
night for
episode
Star
fucking
Wars.
Nine.
So after like 3 minutes, she is still texting, and then she switches to a different screen, and she's reading like an anime comic and scrolling. And I'm like, oh, hell no. So after... a couple minutes, I'm like, is she seriously going to do this whole fucking movie?
Yeah.
And I leaned down and I said, I'm sorry, are you going to be on your phone the whole movie? Like, I can see it and it's really distracting. And I don't think she really understood what I was saying because he had to like lean over and whisper something. And she proceeded to duck under her coat or hoodie or whatever and covered up. And still was on her phone for most of the movie.
Now I'm mad at him. Like, why are you dating, I assume, dating someone and taking them to a movie, ruining other people's...
Right.
If you knew she was going to be acting this way.
That's what I thought. And then occasionally she would, like, poke her head out and, like, she would watch a little bit. And then, like, he would whisper something when there was, like, something that maybe referenced a past movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, like... oh, see, well, that's cool because of this. Like, it was all of those kind of moments where they were whispering.
I hate relationships like that. Like, why are they even
together?
Why
are you trying to explain it?
Why are they together?
Yeah.
You don't have the same interests.
That was what kind of tainted my first viewing. So when I went back the second time, it was still kind of busy. But at the beginning of the movie, there were some things like, oh, wow, I don't remember this at all. And it's because I was focused on that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that explains this that happened later in the movie. Like, I totally missed that.
I do the same thing. It's the slightest, what might be the slightest or even a non-issue distraction for other people, mm-hmm. I just fucking fixate on once it's distracting me from something that I'm really trying to enjoy.
By the way, the pod race is still going
on. Still happening. Still going on. I think it just started getting suspended.
Oh, Sebulba is getting ready to crash. 10 minutes into the race,
and he's still crashing. By the way, that's how long this scene is. Still crashing.
There
he's
goes.
Still crashing,
and he blows up. Poodoo
just stopped crashing.
He said shit in Star Wars. And Anakin wins because he's literally the only person left in the race.
Yes, it was pretty much an endurance contest. He survived the
battle royale.
Yeah, he survived the sniping of the Tusken Raiders and the weird taunting of the Jawas. Why did the Jawa? And how come every time you include a Jawa in anything, he says
Ootini
every time?
Yeah,
they say other things.
Speaking of,
I think it's speciesist.
Yeah. Speaking of battle royale, I watched a movie this week, a couple days ago that was basically Office Space meets Battle Royale.
Is that Marilyn Manson?
It was called the Belko Experiment.
Oh, yeah.
It was written by James Gunn, who did Super and Slither and Guardians of the Galaxy. I enjoyed it. It is very...
I haven't seen it yet, but yeah, I heard it was fun.
Gratuitously violent, but it's fun. Kind of like how I describe Ready or Not, which I don't know if you have seen that movie.
I didn't see Ready or Not, and I saw Super, which was weirdly...
Ready or Not,
very fun.
Just came out on DVD a couple weeks ago. I just rewatched it last night with Brianna. It was my number 12 favorite movie of the year.
Right.
It's basically hide and seek to the death is how it's the premise.
Okay.
Which sounds super cheesy, but it is done so well, and it is funny.
Okay.
And like the heroine is a very strong female character. She's a badass, and it's just very well done, and I can't recommend it enough. It is graphic, it is violent, but you will laugh just as much as you grimace or cringe, if not more.
Did you see Tag?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one yet either, and that one I know it's a different type of movie,
yeah.
But just you saying hide and seek to the death made me think of it. What did you think of it? Because I haven't seen it, but...
It was amusing.
Okay, but not great.
No.
Okay.
Unfortunate. And I don't know if you've seen Love, Simon. Has nothing to do with the beep, boop, boop.
Or Simon Says.
No, it's neither one. It's about a gay kid.
Game Night was surprisingly fucking hilarious.
I haven't seen Game Night. That in the theater and...
was not expecting that to be nearly as funny as it was.
I saw it by myself, and then it was another one where it's like... I'm kind of Brianna's filter for movies. She doesn't really like going to the theater as much as I do. Like, that's one of my favorite things
to do. It's an experience. It's a thing for you. It's like going to Great America.
She has no problem watching things here.
Yeah.
In fact, she's more comfortable watching them here. So, that allows me... I go to the theater, I see everything, and then I'm like, okay, I would watch this again, and I think you would like it.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to waste time with...
That's almost the Quentin Tarantino approach to film viewing. He said years ago he always sees a movie by himself in the theater first and then likes to see it with somebody else.
Yeah.
And I'm the same way. It's so almost that
Game Night was one of those. It was like as soon as I saw it, I messaged her. I'm like, I can't wait for this to come out on DVD and watch it again with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's kind of how I am now. It's like I'll see something. I'm like, ooh, yeah, I want to watch that again. Sometimes she really enjoys them, like Ready or Not, which she typically doesn't like horror movies. I said, it's not really horror.
It's more of like a Cabin in the Woods violent, kind of horror movie,
which
is
like
one of the best horror films of all time.
Think Sam Raimi, you know, like that kind. And then other times I really talk up a movie and it kind of disappoints her.
Like right.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. She did not enjoy it as much as I did.
And this is...
She liked it.
Just an observation. This isn't like a claim of any sort. This it feels true that men typically like Tarantino movies more than women, and that's one of them especially. I loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Number three movie of the year for me.
It completely makes sense to me. I saw somebody put it on the list of best comedies of 2019 as like the number one best comedy.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, comedy? What are you talking about? I mean, it had funny moments.
Sure.
But it wasn't a comedy. And then when you really think about it, if you really think of the technical term of comedy and tragedy, it kind of is the ultimate comedy because it doesn't have the ending you're expecting.
Right.
At all.
Yeah. Tarantino actually got me.
A comedy ending in the sense that Inglourious Bastards was a comedy ending. You know,
that's half why I like the movie so much.
Yeah, that's he puts this Shakespearean spin in the
palm of his hand, and then he was like, "This is what you think is going to happen." Then
classic Tarantino, and then
he got me.
Yeah, I fucking loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It still isn't. It's not my favorite.
Oh, hang on, sorry.
Oh Anakin's getting ready to go away, and 3PO is being left behind.
So we might.
I'll make sure mom doesn't sell you.
So,
So now it's like he's going away to college. He's leaving all his toys
behind. I thought there
was
an explanation. I guess it comes in part two of who finishes 3PO and how and why.
Shmi does, and she puts a dong on him.
Okay. That's why. That makes sense.
Fuck droid.
I was trying to figure out, why did she finish 3PO? You just called
Do you remember...
AI?
There was a trading card of 3PO where it looked like he had...
Yes, there is, yes. A dick. Classic trading card.
That was the Shmi extension.
Gotcha.
The
Shmi edition.
Yeah.
Both versions of edition.
Yeah, and what's great is he's a protocol droid, so he can like speak different languages. So she can pretend, speak Boffin to me tonight.
Yeah, yeah,
that's a Star Wars language, right?
I was thinking of Bachi.
Okay,
which maybe both. That's maybe that's what Bachi is. It's the language of love. That's why it was important that it speaks Bachi.
Boffin Star Wars. Yes, that's one of those, like, goat-looking motherfuckers.
Oh, okay.
Okay, there we go. And Bachi is a language, because that's a direct quote from 3PO. So, and off he goes with his backpack.
A very, modern-looking backpack.
Yeah, it looks like Target those hard-shell ones.
Backpack.
A jetpack.
He's gonna become a Mandalorian.
Yeah, I've been watching that show. It's finished for the season. Finished.
You haven't watched episode 8. Okay.
I haven't watched 6.
Oh.
So Jackson's been gone for a week, and I've been wanting to binge them.
You have not prepared for today, because I wanted to talk some Mandalorian, and now I can't.
Oh.
I can't talk Mandalorian.
We can talk a little bit.
I can talk the first up to 6, okay.
And if we're speaking sequentially, that would be telling too.
All right, hey, look, lightsaber battle. It's about fucking time. Yeah. Or an hour and 20, or whatever it is, into Star Wars.
And at this point, still just a single blade on his laser sword.
A single shorter blade.
Red.
We haven't seen the awesome reveal yet, even though we saw the trailer, so the reveal's been revealed, and I own the toy, so there is no reveal.
Right.
Thanks, Lucas.
Yeah, that would have been such a... I mean, it was a cool shot in the trailer, because if you want to talk, like, most anticipated trailers...
Of all time.
This was it. Like, people would buy tickets just to see the trailer.
And then walk out of the movie.
Yeah.
People bought new computers to have the processing power to download the trailer.
Which is
it came out in,
insane.
Like, 97.
Yeah.
Like, and I know this is true because my cousin did it. Gabe, if you're listening, shout out to you, man. Dude was, like, his computer... He would wake up every couple hours to make sure the download was still happening because it took, like, 15 hours.
Imagine trying to watch porn on those things.
I don't think anyone
could. Kids these days have no idea.
Yeah. So
I just wanted to see a JPEG of boobs.
Yep.
You know.
Going back to the days of watching Scrambled Cinemax, you'd go out of your way to find anything that resembled
penetration. Porn. So, when that shot of him extending the second blade, that was like a come in your pants moment for Star Wars fans.
That Jedi
like,
is
Holy
coming.
Holy shit, this is going to be awesome. And this is what we got.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
There is a song that I was considering using for one of our upcoming episodes, but I opted against it just because of the kind of negativity. But the song's called George Lucas Raped My Childhood. Which it's kind of an amusing song, but I was like, nah, it doesn't fit the tone of the episode.
Better not.
So I opted against that, but you can look it up. It's on YouTube. The guy performs it out in front of a line of people waiting to get into a Star Wars movie on Hollywood Boulevard.
I've realized during this podcast that when we're not drinking, I feel awkward approaching certain topics or swearing.
Really?
It's like when there's no alcohol, it feels like, dropping an F-bomb feels actually like I'm actually doing something wrong.
No, there's still no fucks given on this show.
Yeah.
It's just now we can't blame alcohol for anything we say.
Yeah, which is why I feel more guilty and careful about it. Yeah, I think that your music
also
selection,
it's 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that too. It's
there was no reason 9 o'clock. Sorry, there's no reason we should be drinking. I know it's Sunday, the Lord's Day, but I usually try to wait till at least football games would start to drink on Sundays, but...
So Amidala is kind of creepy. I never really realized it. I always thought that... I forget about this.
Is she a predator, you think?
I think maybe.
Is she grooming him?
I think so. I think she's grooming her own little Jedi here. I think that she should know that Jedi aren't supposed to fall in love, and she's like, all right, I'm going to hook me a Jedi.
Yeah.
She's like one of those junior high teachers.
I can't blame Anakin.
He's in the right.
Yeah.
He's a victim. But
and being a child of the 80s, I was a little more hypersexualized in my youth than Anakin is being raised by a slave.
Right, well, we had small wonder. I mean, how do you...
So, like, if Padme was, you know, like, even if I couldn't do anything, be like, what you got going on?
Yeah.
You know, hook me up.
I always think that small wonder is the thing that, like, weirdly sexualized me as a child. Because I had a crush, I was 5, on Vicky the Robot.
Vicky the Robot.
But they presented this, you know, cute little adorable thing that put on a happy face when people were around, but otherwise did whatever her family told her to do. It was a very weird thing to have a crush on as a child.
Did you have a thing for Rosie from the Jetsons?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm sensing a theme.
But with her, it was the accent.
Oh. Okay.
It was every time she said Mr. J.
Yeah.
I wish she was saying Mr. Joe.
Yeah. I just like women in frilly neckerchiefs. Sorry, I timed that wrong. Coffee through the nose is probably not a comfortable thing.
No, but it'll made me feel more sinuses. Hyper.
Yeah.
Snorting coffee is a great way to kick a... Hey, General Zod!
Yeah, Terrence
Stamp.
Yep.
Hey, they're wearing Vlad the Impaler armor.
So, we have more boring adult talk.
Terrence Stamp also was the Limey, which is a great movie, and he was the... Headspace guy in Bowfinger.
I haven't seen Bowfinger in a long time.
Fucking great movie.
Now, had Terrence Stamp and Ewan McGregor's paths ever crossed before? Because you think they could have.
If they I feel like it would have been in that... what was that? I think it was a Danny Boyle movie with Ewan McGregor and Cameron Diaz.
Is that guy a Boston?
Could be.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. Motherfucker. I can picture the cover.
Yeah, I can picture the cover, and there's like an animated heart happening at some point in the ending credits, and I remember thinking...
Now I have to look it up.
I want to say it was Danny Boyle, but it also could have been Baz Luhrmann. It was a weird movie, that's why I feel like...
I'm going to look up Cameron Diaz instead of...
A Life Less Ordinary.
Yep, that's it.
It came to me.
So Cameron Diaz used to be my litmus test for how attractive I thought a female celebrity was.
Is she the cutoff, or is she?
I think Cameron Diaz is just kind of meh.
Okay, I've heard this from men before, and it's interesting to me.
I would be like, she's okay. She's better than Cameron Diaz, you know. And if like I found somebody less attractive than Cameron Diaz, that's not good.
I've heard the two that I've heard are Cameron Diaz and Hilary Swank are like the two female celebrities that men are like, she's the cutoff of attractiveness, or they're like, I just don't get. Oh, and I've heard Emma Stone, and frankly, that's the one I ultimately don't get. I think that Emma Stone is...
Brianna's not a fan of Emma Stone.
Inarguably gorgeous.
Yeah.
And talented. I
There's Natalie.
Nothing against Brianna's taste.
No.
But I don't get it is one thing, but I've heard guys or like red guys online just be like, oh, she's just fucking ugly. I don't get it.
I think part of it is the way she holds her mouth when she talks. If like she kind of will sometimes talk out of the side of her mouth or position it a little unconventionally, I guess.
She does have kind of a Drew Barrymore-esque speaking.
I'm a fan of Drew Barrymore. Oh, here we go. It's the Jedi Council.
Jedi always look like they're holding in a pee.
There's Yoda.
Yay.
And Kit Fisto and the Conehead, Beldar. There's Mace Windu.
Yoda originally looked much creepier. When this was first released, Yoda looked flat. They tried to make him look too young, and he looked goofy. And
did they turn him into Yaddle? Because there's Yaddle. Yeah. Looking now, like Warwick Davis and Yoda makeup.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
So the you spoke of the Mandalorian.
Yes.
These are the only two, quote, Yodas before baby Yoda, a.k.a. the child, showed up on the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
There's no name for their species.
They have not revealed. George Lucas was intentionally mysterious about Yoda's species. He wanted the belief, essentially, to be that Yoda was the last of his species. He started that rumor intentionally. He wanted people to think Yoda of being as the last of his species. That's why he had Yaddle be such a small character when he did this, was to add even more controversy to it. So, yeah, one of the working theories is that they, even though they are Jedi and are supposed to stay away from love and the temptations that come with emotion, that they, for the sake of preserving their species, ended up having a child, and that's who the child is.
And he's 50 years old.
So they would have done this years before Phantom Menace, obviously, because Phantom Menace is, what, 40? No, not 40. What? How many years before Yavin? I'm trying to think of the Star Wars timeline right now.
Oh, the boy's here to see Padme.
Oh,
damn right he is.
Oh, yeah.
Watch you bend over, show me that space ass. That's some Astronaut Jones. Anakin Skywalker. Oh, no. Show me them space titties. That's what he said. What is with that hair? And what is with that statue?
Where did you get those shoes? Jesus.
That vase has boobs, too. And her hair, like...
Yeah, that hair is ridiculous. What was Johnny's line in Airplane after...
And why she got scrolls hanging off the end of her braids. That's intentionally, like, come...
These are weird statues,
come
too.
Ride me like a pod race.
Use me like handlebars.
E.T. is somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more into this conversation.
So does that mean E.T. is canon? Is that Michelle Yeoh?
I never noticed that. There's a theory that E.T. is a Jedi.
No shit.
Which makes absolute sense.
Because his finger glows?
His finger glows. He makes them fly at the end. Like, he has so many force powers.
He bonds with Elliot when he gets drunk. Yeah, the only reason to watch this scene over is to look at all the little boxes, the theater boxes.
Is that Michelle Yeoh?
I don't know who that is, unfortunately. Who's Michelle Yeoh? I'm guessing Y-E-O-H.
Yeah, she's a Chinese actress who's in a bunch of, but she was what? Not Crouching Tiger. Was she in Hero?
Oh, Hero's great.
It's a great movie.
I own that.
I gotta look it up. And that's another Star Trek connection. She's in Star Trek Discovery, of course.
Oh, there's the goat faces.
The true rulers of the Republic. And on the payroll.
This is all really boring. I'm not a political person. Government doesn't interest me. So trade commissions and tariffs and taxation and all this kind of stuff is really just bleh.
Yeah, this...
I mean, more lightsaber battles and pod races.
Yeah, exactly. I like the spiritual stuff, and the dog fights were the best parts of the wars in the Star Wars.
Her body is not capable of action, she said. So she's still pure and chaste.
No wonder the fight scenes were so boring in Attack of the Clones.
She's waiting for that little slave boy to come of age. There's the Wookiees.
They're the representatives from Kashyyyk.
Yeah.
There's E.T. lower left corner.
Yeah.
So yeah, the E.T. aliens are clearly a part of the Star Wars galaxy, which means that many years from now,
where's Earth?
They journey to Earth.
Where are the humans in there?
Well, this was a long time ago, so I guess maybe that was first contact.
Maybe.
Well, when the E.T. aliens touched base.
Oh, all right. So with us. He's going to become a Jedi, whether the Council agrees or not.
See, that was good dialogue. Do not defy the council, not again. It's the implication is that Qui-Gon is a maverick. So that's excellent dialogue.
How do they know where the lanes are for these vehicles right now?
I don't know.
Who started that line? And they're like, well, I'll just follow this person.
Yeah. What a bunch of fucking
sheep. Flying cars is supposed to, like, prevent traffic jams, you would think. Boobies.
Just a couple of wavy lines.
Yeah. This is where they rip off Ghostbusters. Yoda goes all Peter Venkman.
Afraid, are you? No. Just so he can hit on the next Jedi contestant.
The next youngling through the door.
Oh, yeah, I guess I just realized. If it's a youngling, that's creepy. Especially when you consider that Yoda's like 800 years old.
Yeah.
I miss her.
Miss your mommy, you do. Cry, or are you going to?
I can't do Yoda, so I'm going to avoid Yoda impressions.
Born of a virgin you were. Tight she must be. Hate
leads to suffering. Those are lines from Clone Wars. That's how dirty it gets.
I haven't been inside myself in years.
Tight your bond must be, I meant.
He does say going deep into the temple they are at some point.
Yeah. So this is Frank Oz doing Yoda's
voice. Yeah, Frank Oz has always been Yoda.
But this is not practical effects puppetry anymore. He's not computer animated.
They used a puppet for the original Phantom Menace.
Use the people gonna die? There's the line.
Gungans get pasted too, eh?
What?
Pasted.
They get pasted? What euphemism is he using?
They put things over their nipples.
They put little propellers and they spin.
They eat some glue.
Got a grand army. That's why you're not liking us, Mr. Dinks.
Your Highness?
Seriously, how much time of her day is spent making her hair look like that?
Yeah. Oh, it's okay. They just got one of those topsy-turvies. Ever see the... Is that what they're called? The infomercial that has that thing that you just put your hair through and it styles it immediately?
She's got a really big bumpets. She's got that dingle ball, like, right on her forehead. That would be distracting as hell. Like, you can feel it's there.
She's like an anglerfish. And you're gonna, like, that's how she lures people in.
You're going to look up at it all the time. This is when the queen goes cross-eyed.
Palpatine's hair has always been ridiculous.
There'll be nothing left of our people.
Oh, Jar Jar, do something. Why did they even cut to him? Is that a bird statue?
It's a Maltese falcon.
Yeah. It's either that or a stone dilder.
I feel I must return to mine. I've decided to go back to Naboo.
Just cool.
But Your Majesty, be realistic that they'll force you to sign the treaty.
I will sign no treaty, Senator. My fate will be no different than that of our people. Captain.
Your Highness.
Ready my ship.
Please, Your Majesty, stay.
Speaking of Highness, though we're not drinking, this movie is getting to a point where it's only bearable if you have something.
I pray you will bring sanity.
Yeah.
Something to keep you going.
So,
by the time this airs, it's legal, so.
That's true.
Fuck it.
Happy legalization day, everybody. So, they keep saying Naboo. Have you ever watched the show The Mighty Boosh? I keep thinking of Noel Fielding every time. Or no, it's Michael Fielding that plays
his
Naboo,
brother.
His brother. The Michael Jackson-esque magician or whatever that they have.
It's an excellent show. If you haven't seen it,
I love it.
We both highly recommend it,
obviously. I own the box set.
Me too.
There's weird music. I'm sure
there's
a lot
moon.
Of people.
The moon is one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, I'm the moon walking on me face. I've used many Mighty Boosh edits in the Disney and Ernest shows. Also, Rich Fulcher is a treasure in that show. Why am I drawing a blank on his character's name? The head zookeeper.
Yeah. I can't think of the character's name either.
But he's ridiculous.
His description of kangaroos is hilarious to me. And you don't know what it is until later on somebody guesses it. And at first he's just like, what do you call the guys with the tiny front pocket and the little hands? He's like, what? The guys with the little versions of themselves and their front pockets and the hands. And he's the zookeeper. The guy's like, you mean kangaroos? He's like, yeah.
And most people are aware of old Greg.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you've seen the old Greg...
That's the Mighty Boosh.
That's, from a great episode of Mighty Boosh.
I also enjoy the Crack Fox.
Yeah.
that show's a little too weird for Brianna's tastes. She will watch Tim and Eric with me, but the Mighty Boosh, she hasn't quite welcomed as easily.
Yeah.
And I think that's more of a I'm up by myself and want something really
it's
weird.
It's super absurd, but it's great absurdist comedy.
I do love absurdity.
All right, so what's happening now? Where are we?
Well, R2's back. We're an hour and 30 some minutes in. This movie's what, 2.5 hours? So
yeah,
we still have another
like
hour
that.
To go.
Wow.
Movie one. We knew that what we were getting ourselves into. 2 hours and 16 minutes. So we have
about 45 minutes left.
That's watching all the credits, which we are not doing.
No.
There's a lot of digital effects and stuff.
Oh, good. An explanation as to what midi-chlorians
are.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Microscopic life in all living cells.
Inside your cells, yes. And we are symbionts with them.
Symbionts?
Life forms living together for mutual advantage. Without the midi-chlorians...
Yeah, maybe this will make sense to you now.
And we would have no knowledge of the Force.
Basically, Jedis have a disease. They have tainted blood. But unlike sickle cell, where it hurts you, this is a blessing. You get magic powers.
And Anakin, the reason you don't understand is because it makes no fucking sense and it's ridiculous and stupid.
Oh, now she's got pillows for her hair. It looks like really saggy boobs.
I assure you, I will not allow that to happen.
On some space species.
Come on, R2.
That was the Star Wars equivalent of, I love this town!
Oh, and there they go.
No, that was exciting. Yep. It was a lot of pomp and circumstance and the music for nothing.
The last pockets of primitive life forms. We are in complete control of the planet now.
Good. I will see to it. But
I want to see who did their voices. Are they Asian, or were those people forced to be do racist stereotyping for their voice?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Let's find out.
All right. So, I'd like to point out some inconsistencies with the Star Wars universe, or Star Wars galaxy, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, so the one guy did like most of the voices. He was Newt Gunray, Kai Adimundi, and Lot Dodd. So he's pretty much having a conversation with himself.
Yeah. It sounds like one person just putting on a fake voice.
He's an English actor living most of his life in London. Looks like he could maybe have a little bit of Asian in him, but not much.
Yeah.
He may be like a quarter Asian at most, I would say.
Yeah.
Just based on how he looks. He had a role in The Phantom Thread a couple years ago.
Wow, he's getting a lot of Phantom movies.
Yeah, right? He was in a movie called Blood Cells.
He was in Phantom of the Opera.
So he was in a TV show called Strike Back. Doctor Who. He did 6 episodes. He was the Ood. Okay. I know what the Ood is. They're gross looking. So, yeah. He was kind of forced to do a unfortunate accent.
So, one thing I don't really care for about the Star Wars movies, and sorry for people who are huge Star Wars fans listening who get annoyed when people point out things I don't like. I don't mean to be that person, but I do think it's weird that hyperdrive and light speed just gets you anywhere in the galaxy in seconds.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I like that at least, you know, there's as inconsistent as it ends up being, there is explanation in the Star Trek universe as to how warp drive works and, you know, how fast you can get someplace over a period of time. I don't like that there's a race to see how fast you can do the Kessel Run. At the same time, it's like, hey, we're going to Tatooine from Dagobah. Punch in the coordinates. We'll be there in seconds, no matter where you're at.
I just found something else while scrolling through the cast list. Did you know Sofia Coppola is in this too? I'm guessing as one of the handmaids.
Yeah, she is one of the handmaids because Lucas and Coppola are friends.
Yeah. Yes, I did not realize that.
Yeah, Lucas and Spielberg and Scorsese and Coppola, they were all, I think they all went to USC together.
Sounds right.
If they didn't go to the same school together, some of them did, and they all just became friends because they were of the same age growing up at the same time.
Oh, now we're in an Indiana Jones movie.
If only. Oh, wait. Is it
Crystal Skull? Well, I saw the ruins.
It better not be Crystal Skull.
I don't see any refrigerators.
Okay. Yeah, now I'm looking for Sofia Coppola.
Yep.
Oh, wait, this is the end of Apocalypse Now.
I love the smell of Naboo in the morning. Nabiggin? Isn't that one of Al Bundy's porn magazines? That
Biggins, yeah, that was.
Why do I remember this shit?
I don't know, but I thought of that too.
I haven't watched that show since it was on, like, regular airing.
Here's the line from her toy.
Queen Amidala.
Oh, this shit.
Richard O'Brien.
This is my
what? I never would have guessed.
My loyal bodyguard. I'm sorry for my deception, but it was necessary to protect myself.
Okay, yeah, quit dwelling on it. We're
not
surprised.
We do not always agree, Your Honor. Our two great societies have always lived in peace. The Trade Federation has destroyed all...
Does that one have a gimp mask on behind Boss Nass?
Existed.
Or at the least, he's a Naboo luchador.
We're going to start listening to the Comanche.
Or a Gungan luchador. Kneel before Zod. Where's he at?
Yeah, where's Terrence? Death by Oonga Boonga. The suspense is killing me.
Oh, you got to get the Brian Blessed laugh at some point. It was in his contract.
Well, for being somebody who's sensitive to being judged, he's speaking very condescendingly right now.
Yeah.
What are you, some kind of fucking king? They're bowing before you and you declare Misa like this? And you're the sensitive one?
Now we party big time. Slapping the bass, man.
Smoking the ganja.
Oh, man. Now Darth Maul's hanging out with them. He needs some new friends. These guys suck.
Is he doing an Elvis impression?
The Queen is very good at making first moves.
Palpatine keeps curling his lip like he's going to start singing Hound Dog.
Oh, day's a coming, Seth. Day's a coming.
Oh.
If they start singing an old Negro spiritual right before the battle, like,
start
God
singing
damn.
Minstrel songs.
Yeah. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho.
Bombard the general.
Bombard.
Yeah, just take out the bomb. That'll... Your Highness, they just... That was a movie she was in.
That's true.
You saw her ass in that movie.
You know what? I actually never saw the whole movie because I heard it was bad. You see Natalie Portman's butt?
I think she's in a very, very skimpy swimsuit.
Okay.
I will do some research now. This is a battle. I do not think that we
can win. Dustin's doing Natalie Portman butt research.
Well, you know,
he'll be back in about 12 minutes.
There's worse things that could be in your Google search. Oh, I think that's really all I need. Suggested search, Natalie Portman, Your Highness GIF. I think that's probably what I'm looking for. Yep, here we go.
Without the Viceroy, they will be lost and confused. What do you think, Master Jedi?
The Viceroy will be well gone. The difficulty is getting into the throne room.
Oh, it's I gotta wait for it to load, so
oh my God.
So we're not in the 90s.
This is more suspenseful than anything that's happened in The Phantom Menace, by the way.
What now?
We have a plan.
Did you do our what part?
That's what I thought.
We will send what pilots we have to knock out the droid control ship orbiting the planet.
Ewan McGregor said that his performance in this movie amounted to walking into rooms and looking up.
Sounds about right.
That's how he did not enjoy being in this film.
And yet he's coming back.
I think because Lucas has nothing to do with it. I don't think that Lucas was like a problem on set from what I've read or seen, but he's just not an enjoyable director to work with if you're an actor trying to do, you know, your job.
This will work to our advantage.
Oh, here we go. I have to move.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's Natalie Portman's butt. That's definitely her. That's not a stunt double.
So there you go.
All right.
Now you don't need to see Your Highness.
Yet I'm going to.
Yep. Oh, this was the opening shot of the trailer.
Yeah, that's right.
Coming through the mist.
Oh, man, it was so exciting to see that trailer.
And they're riding duckbill platypuses.
Yeah. Is the plural platypi?
Platypi, yeah.
Platypi. It's hard to say plural platypi. And the plural of Jedi is Jedi, by the way. I've said Jedis and I regretted it.
It's like a deer.
Yes, and reindeer. I said reindeers once in the
that's all right. Nobody
Santa
cared.
Claus podcast.
It's
I was
called
drunk
at the movies. You think people are like fact checking us? They're looking up the Natalie Portman butt gif.
That's the great thing about doing a Drunk at the Movies podcast is when you get fact checked, you can just be like, dude, I was drunk.
Yeah. But the thing is, this show doesn't need to be fact checked nearly as much as some other podcasts. I will listen to some and be like, no, like, get your shit together. Mm-hmm. You're not being accurate right now, or they can't think of something and I'm like yelling it.
Yeah.
While I'm listening to it. My ridiculous, useless trivia kind of comes in handy for
what is she shows. Holding? She's about to perform a colonoscopy.
Yeah. So, Anakin, you into butt stuff? She's grooming him.
Oh.
Did you see Leaving Neverland?
I did not see it. No.
Well, she asks him to get on the bed and spread his cheeks. I know what's going to happen. I've seen that movie. Like, I didn't see it happen. They talked about it.
You didn't see, like, the
home
video.
I did not see it. Yeah.
Nope. Michael Jackson.
It is tough, man. I
wanted
his
to be
music.
In this.
Yeah,
he
that
was,
doesn't surprise me.
I forget which role he was wanting to be in, but Lucas wanted, I think, like, any stars that were going to be in it were, like, up-and-coming stars that were already established but were still young, like Ewan McGregor and Natalie Portman. Except I don't know why he was excited about Liam Neeson being in it. Basically, he broke every rule that made A New Hope work.
Right.
We just heard the Wilhelm scream, I believe.
Classic.
I think we were talking over it. I remember when I saw this in the theater, I was in denial that the movie was bad. I convinced... Mm-hmm. Oh, there it was.
Yeah.
I convinced myself that it was good because it had the Wilhelm scream in it.
Did you know there's a band called the Wilhelm Scream?
Yes. I've not heard them, but I know
that I don't think they're that good. They didn't make it very far.
No, that's...
My favorite stock sound effect, which could now be worked into the Star Wars universe, is the Goofy yell. Yes. That I point out anytime we hear it in a Disney movie that we watch, I have to comment about the Goofy yell. But I don't believe it's in any Star Wars movie.
Not yet.
It should be.
It should be. I hope
it
happens.
Now that they own it, so...
I just watched Mickey's Christmas Carol because I haven't watched it in years, and it's in there.
Oh, that's a yearly rewatch for me.
It was when I was a kid, and now that I have access to it easily, I'm like, hey, why not?
All right, so I guess since this is the first movie, we can kind of get into this discussion. I mean, we're watching it on Disney+. It's no surprise. I am a huge Disney fan. However, I personally don't consider Star Wars a Disney...
It's hard to call it that.
...property.
Yeah.
Like, yes, they own the movies now. They're making the new ones. But I don't consider them Disney movies because people have asked us, hey, on Dishing Disney, are you going to do Star Wars movies? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't answer that because if I open up Star Wars, then I also open up the Marvel movies and any other property that they've acquired. is 20th Century Fox now considered Disney?
Right.
You know, are we going to do Home Alone? Yeah. Like, those aren't Disney movies. Touchstone movies would be considered Disney movies before Star Wars.
Right.
But we're not doing the Ernest movies on Disney. I have a whole nother podcast for that.
Right.
But I'm like, I feel we have to be totally classic Disney. Anything live action or animated that was made with the Disney or Pixar Disney label. I can't wrap around and autocorrect years of feelings about Star Wars not being Disney. Now, the new generation, they won't know any different.
Yeah.
Star Wars and Disney will go hand in hand. I can't make that connection.
It's a tough adaptation. It's a tough adjustment to make when all of your nostalgia is divided in that arena. I have to point out that Lucas just totally reused an Ewok joke when Jar Jar was spinning his bola and then like hit himself and knocked over.
Wicket,
like,
dude, did that,
you did
right?
that. Yeah, yeah, you did that already. Oh, wow, what a reveal. He has horns.
We saw he had head horns, but now they go all the way around. He's got a horn halo.
Jedi and Sith disrobing before they battle, duel. It's kind of weird looking to me. Hey, those looks like the artist's signature from the Iron Maiden. Whoa.
I even bought the soundtrack before I saw the movie.
Darth Maul's saber reminds me of the end of Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah. Ass to ass. Now I'm going to look up Jennifer Connelly gifts. She's another one.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a fan. Yeah, it looks like the Iron Maiden covers the but I can't Derek Riggs signature.
Oh, so here we go.
I'm surprised Iron Maiden never wrote a song about Star Wars as many times as they did, like they did To Tame a Land when they wrote or when they read and watched Doom. Dune. God.
Isn't there a new Dune movie coming out?
Yeah, they're working on a new.
Never saw the original, so I don't know. I should probably do that before the new one comes out, so I will understand why everybody's like, oh, this one sucks.
Yeah.
There's no Sting in it. So this is a pretty badass lightsaber fight.
I would say it looks a little choreographed.
Well, yeah, totally. I mean, when you have this guy who's a
it's such
black
a cool
belt,
idea.
And this is what I'm saying. I can't picture Benicio del Toro in this. And, like, having a martial artist for this character makes the lightsaber fight that much more dynamic rather than just three guys womp, 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 you know.
I think it is one of the best lightsaber battles in the entire saga.
Some could say it's the only reason to watch this movie.
Yeah.
This and the pod racing scene. So you get about 20 minutes out of 2 hours and 15.
Yeah.
There's no Natalie Portman ass in this movie.
Not yet. Not we get yet. A little bit of it in the next one. We get at least a cat suit. So that was nice of them.
Hey, here's a weird thing. Let's get weird. So how old was Natalie Portman when this was made?
I think 19.
Okay, 19. So she was legal.
I believe all right.
So what I'm saying is she was our age. So is it weird for us that if we watch something and we comment about how attractive they are, we know what they look like now. We were that age then. But is it weird, like, yeah, that 19-year-old is attractive?
I don't think so, because
it's like looking at an old picture
then. Yeah, it's like you know, my girlfriend now,
right.
I knew when we were in high school, and I had a little bit of a crush on her then, and that's carried through, and that's true of Natalie Portman as well.
I'm just making sure I'm not feeling like a creep right now.
Yeah, no, I'm totally justifying and legitimizing your feelings, because I feel them too. Now, I do think
it's
we
not
were
the Matthew McConaughey thing, like, I get older, they stay the same age.
Yeah,
not like that. We're not Wooderson.
I think if I watched a movie from 1999 now that I hadn't seen then, that had a woman who was 19 and I were like, hey, she was hot.
Right.
That would be weird and inappropriate.
Yeah.
But my attraction to Natalie Portman is out of complete respect. And I do also feel bad saying, hey, we get to see her in a cat suit, because she said rather recently that she she regrets not realizing how sexualized she was in films in younger years. Like, she looks back on that and she's like, you know what? That's something that happened to me. I really wasn't a part of that decision because I was too young to realize.
Well,
and I don't know if she was necessarily talking about Attack of the Clones.
If I remember correctly, not too many years after that, she had some photos of her on a nude beach come out, so she was obviously kind of comfortable with her body. Because I seen it.
Yeah.
So,
this is so ridiculous looking. This is one of the worst.
It's 1966 Batman. Yeah. Like, where do you get these wonderful toys?
With all the CGI that you were going to put in this movie, you couldn't make their harpoon guns.
They had a batarang and
a little less like, a camera just put on its side while they're just walking on a wall.
So I read that all of these sets were only built to be about 6 feet high and everything else was done digitally. You can tell.
Yeah.
That's what's so cool about going to Disney World and Disneyland now is they have Galaxy's Edge. And it's literally like stepping into one of the worlds. And it's fully immersive and, it's not only 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
You get to be in it.
And that's the kind of stuff as someone who has nieces and nephews, but I don't have my own kids, so I don't really have a reason
to go to Disney. Dude, you can go to Disney World as an adult without kids. I'm telling you, I've done it, and you are fine.
I'm afraid it would look creepy, because I would love to walk around the Star Wars universe.
I did kind of like this.
Yeah.
This, where like, nope, now you gotta wait.
Yeah.
I thought this was a cool touch.
Yeah, the Qui-Gon stopping to meditate while Maul goes back and forth like a caged animal. Uh-huh. Like, this is a cool
scene. And Obi-Wan's like three walls behind.
Yeah, and just has to watch in anticipation. But this is an example of, once all these things open up again, and then Obi-Wan gets caught, why didn't he just fucking run fast like he did at the beginning of the movie? Like, that's where I get those moments where I'm like, what the fuck? Why is the Force inconsistent in how and when they use it?
Yeah.
How about explain that instead of explaining that there are fucking little microscopic beings that make people Force sensitive instead of the Force being something that anybody can get to a level of enlightenment where they possess the ability to manipulate it. That's what the Star Wars universe was to us growing up. I think that's why that explanation was such bullshit. I think that's part of the reason I hated the midichlorians, is that I liked the idea that anyone could harness the Force if they practiced and believed and worked for it.
So while this is going on, what I was saying earlier was some people think it's weird for adults to go to Disney parks without kids, and there was like a whole big online battle about it, and some articles written, and people think it's creepy or whatever, and then other people are like, well, fuck you, why do I have to procreate to be able to enjoy something? Like, I grew up with these movies too. They're for everybody, and that's what the parks are. There's stuff at the parks that kids aren't supposed to do, there's things for people of all ages to enjoy, so don't feel weird going to the parks, because Brianna and I did it with the kids, and then we recently went to Disneyland, just the two of us, and they're totally different experiences. Like, her and I were able to kind of relax a little bit more, because we're not wrangling kids and making sure they're taken care of and entertained and they're not getting pissy and tired or whatever. Like, we can just go and just do what we want. So in that aspect, I liked it more, but there were some things that's like, oh man, Jackson would have loved this, and it would have been cool to experience that with him. So there's different levels, but I would have no problem going to Disney on my own.
Cause I'm not going to lie. With other adults. If I go, I'm going to build my own lightsaber.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. I'm going to spend the money on building build a bear experience a lightsaber.
One reason, like, the Disney buying Lucasfilm that I'm okay with is what they've done in that regard is super cool. And they did bring the movies back, but it still, to me, just isn't a Disney property.
See, run fast. Run fast.
Yep.
Alright, why not? Force Dash. Whatever. Whatever movie.
He should have done where he, like, slides, and then he leaves his saber behind, he has to reach and grab it.
Right.
You know, just as it closes. Dun, 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 dun.
I've thought before, and I might actually do this.
There's
to
an
see.
Indiana Jones ride at Disney, too.
Yeah, and, oh, my God. All right, big moment there.
Right in the midichlorians.
That was a good death. That was a Gary Oldman death. Good job. Way to go, Liam. Now, I've thought before it would be fun to take John Williams' music from one franchise and just mix it with another one, edit it with another one to see if it still works.
Star Wars with Jaws.
Yeah, and I was thinking, like, you know, you could do Vader walking in for the first time to Jaws.
Yeah.
In A New Hope. You could do, you know, you could do Star Wars to Superman. It would have the exact same effect because John Williams just, like, writes epic songs and thematic songs. It either sounds evil or epic.
I mean, he is the best, right? I mean, I don't know now, but output total.
I love John Williams because he had such an effect on my life.
Are you a Zimmer man?
I like some Zimmer too. I like Howard Shore. What I was going to say is I've met a lot of people who are like true musicians who have studied music and
Trent Reznor.
Music. I've met Trent Reznor.
Well, no, I'm just trying to think of like contemporary ones that are actually musicians, you know.
Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
No, I like John Williams because he's so great with themes. It's almost like Peter and the Wolf. When you hear certain music, you know what character is going to be on screen. But I've met a lot of composers, or some composers, I should say, who think that John Williams is basically a hack.
I think he does kind of repeat some similar things.
He uses goes stuff to the that well. Came before him. Yeah. He basically kind of is like, all right, what would Stravinsky do? But that's also a real pretentious, shitty thing to say because I'm not really a music person, and I fucking love John Williams because, like I said, he affected my childhood. And
also, all musicians draw inspiration from past music.
See, this is getting good. This is a good lightsaber duel. This looks less choreographed because you don't have to make it look like two people fighting one. I remember that from the trailer.
Apparently, Ewan McGregor was making the lightsaber sound effects with his mouth every time they did the fights.
He said it was just kind of automatic.
Oh no, there goes his saber.
So,
laser sword.
I wonder if Obi-Wan's laser sword is somewhere.
Yeah,
we missed earlier. Hey, there was just a regular power button. Did you see that?
No.
In the symbols? And along the left, the two rows of red lights, there's just a regular, you know, power button on every electronic that you see now, the circle with the line up the top of it.
Oh, and there we go. He just blew that up.
Just accidentally destroyed the battle droid's supercomputer, or whatever it was called.
We're almost over, right?
Yeah, we're getting toward the end here. This is,
Yep, we're 2 hours.
You know, oh, this is in the trailer, I remember. When you watch Phantom Menace with a friend and don't actually watch it, it goes by a lot faster.
It's true.
Than when you just sit and watch the movie.
Yeah, because every time I would try doing a marathon, I couldn't get past the prequels.
Yeah.
I would make it to 2, and I would give up.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's why I've only seen the third one the one time.
Uh-huh.
I owned it on DVD for years. I bought it when it came out because I felt I had to, and I never watched it. I finally sold it a couple years ago because I'm like, I don't need this. I will just keep the good ones, which I have the original trilogy in so many different forms. I have the original VHS releases. I have the THX releases.
I have
the special edition releases.
I have the video disc.
Yeah. Those are all releases. Just VHS. Then on DVD, I have when they released the special editions, but came with the bonus disc of the original.
Of the original
cut.
Theatrical release. I have those.
And then I have the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have them all.
That's a cool looking lightsaber.
Because I thought about, hey, we could bust out the VHS and watch the originals, but again, having people sync up,
this is the
easiest way to go.
Darth Maul had this look on his face like, what's Obi-Wan doing?
Yeah,
he could have killed him right then and there.
He gets cut in half.
And we see the blood splatter out, which makes no sense because the wound would be cauterized during its slicing. So Darth Maul just broke in half and fell down
like
a shaft.
At the waist.
At the waist.
This man has no dick.
That's our third Ghostbusters reference of this viewing. I never realized the similarities. So, a friend of mine, shout out to Jenny Lee. She was a coworker and kind of my mentor when I worked at News 25. And I would call her Qui-Gon Jen because my name that was given to me, shout out to Jeff Muniz, he called me Jobi-Wan Kenobi one day and it stuck. And so at work, I was called Jobi-Wan. So I started calling Jenny Qui-Gon Jen whenever she bestowed some kind of piece of wisdom.
That's funny. I can't do shit with my name. And it doesn't fit.
You're Dust in the Wind, dude.
Yeah, Dust in the Wind. That's
awesome.
That's my wrestling name.
That's a great wrestling name.
I'm not as fast as I used to be, though, so it doesn't work. Now I'd have to become, like, a farting wrestler.
And then that still works with age. That's, yeah.
I'm that guy. Okay, so
that extra was terrible.
We're wrapping things up.
All right, so yeah, a lot of bad lines I wanted to point out that I missed. I feel like those are Imperial Guards someday.
Yep. They look like they're Roman right now.
Where are they Roman to? He defeated the Cretans at Sparta. Make that the Spartans at Crete. So there was a line earlier during the battle droid supercomputer being destroyed where he yells, "Now that's what I call pod racing."
Yeah.
It's one of the worst lines in the franchise, I believe. But not the worst. The worst is in the next movie.
Oh, here's you. I saw birds just a little bit ago.
Oh, yeah, some birds outside the window. Finally, some Star Wars birds. Do not.
Qui-Gon believed in him.
Well, Qui-Gon's dead.
The chosen one, the boy may be. Nevertheless, grave danger I fear in his training.
Master Yoda.
Vader theme.
I will train Anakin.
Oh, that was his toy. His line. I will train Anakin.
Oh, gotcha.
Qui-Gon's defiance I sense in you. Need that you do not.
I saw behind the scenes with one of the animators when they redid Yoda for this, since the original one looked ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And they said one of the most difficult parts of doing the CGI was getting the ears to, like, kind of bounce a little bit. Because when he turned his head, the puppet would kind of, you know, the ears would just kind of rattle.
Now we're setting Qui-Gon on fire.
Yep. Traditional Jedi burial.
Yeah. Nobody's roasting marshmallows, thankfully. I'm waiting for Jar Jar to do something.
Something inappropriate?
Yeah. You still make a barbecue?
So, Jedi robes. I always thought Jedi would dress more like Luke in Return of the Jedi when he's got the black cloak.
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't make any sense.
They look
movie.
Like Jawas.
They look like everybody on Tatooine. I thought the brown robes was a Tatooine thing.
Right.
I mean, Uncle Ben...
Right.
Uncle Ben?
That's
not his name.
And Aunt Beru.
And Aunt Beru. I'm like
Uncle
Ben
Owen.
Kenobi. Uncle Owen, Jesus.
Yeah.
Uncle Ben, that's fucking Spider-Man.
You're thinking Old Ben. Old Ben Kenobi. Oh,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, Uncle Owen had a long brown robe. Jawas had long brown robes. Tusken Raiders had long robes.
Maybe Anakin left it behind, and he was just like, this looks practical.
So it's like, Jedi just all look like they're from Tatooine?
Oh, and here's our big celebration. There's apparently horses in this galaxy.
Yeah.
They were on top of the Arc de Triomphe there.
Okay.
Oh, everybody's partying on the rooftops. Except for those guards down there in the corner.
And what is that? Why?
With the glowing ball?
The thing he got from Spencer's gifts.
Someone got a haircut.
Yep. Someone's gonna be a Jedi.
Oh.
They all look super disappointed.
Yeah. They knew what this was the last scene filmed.
They just saw the screening.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, that's just one of those things that...
Yeah.
I mean, people... I mean, that was in Space Mutiny.
And now we show some droids beeping and booping, and she's like, yeah, I like that haircut. And the end.
And that's how it ends.
All folks, right.
That is George Lucas's first movie since A New Hope that he wrote and directed.
Yep. And we all heard what we thought about it. So,
you won't be surprised to find out where this lies on my ranking.
Yeah. Well, let's cut to something better while the credits finish up.
Something much, much better. That I don't know most of the lyrics to.
Yeah. You know, as you guys well know, I don't really get permission to play the music anymore. I just kind of do what I want.
Well, we don't get sponsorship for this episode, so technically we're not getting paid. So
yeah, so we're going to play Weird Al Yankovic, The Saga Begins, because you kind of have to. I've heard this song live many times. It's his parody of American Pie, all about Star Wars. So specifically episode 1, that's why we're playing it, to
his
close
second
it
parody
out.
That is Star Wars there, based.
You may hear Weird Al down the road again. So yeah, here we go. Take it away, Al.
A long, long time ago, in a galaxy far away, Naboo was under an attack. And I thought me and Qui-Gon Jinn could talk the Federation into maybe cutting them a little slack. But their response, it didn't thrill us. They locked the doors and tried to kill us. We escaped from that gas, then met Jar Jar and Boss Nass. We took a bongo from the scene and we went to feed to see the Queen. We all wound up on Tatooine. That's where we found this boy. Oh my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later. Now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Did you know this junkyard slave isn't even old enough to shave? But he can use the force, they say. Do you see him hitting on the queen? Though he's just 9 and she's 14. Yeah, he's probably gonna marry her someday. Jedi. Now we finally got to Coruscant, the Jedi Council we knew would want to see how good the boy could be. So we took him there and we told the tale how his midichlorians were off the scale and he might fulfill that prophecy. Maybe Vader someday later. be a Jedi. We caught a ride back to Naboo, 'cause Queen Amidala wanted to. I frankly would have liked to stay. We all fought in that epic war, and it wasn't long at all before little Hotshot flew his plane and saved the day. And in the end, some Gungans died, some ships blew up and some pilots fried. A lot of folks were croaking, the battle droids were broken. And the Jedi I admire most met up with Darth Maul, and now he's toast. Well, I'm still here and he's a ghost. I guess I'll train this boy. And I was singing, my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying, soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. We were singing, my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying, soon I'm gonna be a Jedi.
And that was Weird Al with The Saga Begins, and our saga is just beginning as well. We are, as we said, 2 hours and 16 minutes in now. We're going to refuel and load up the next movie, and we will be back next week for you guys. But 5 minutes from now, we will begin Attack of the Clones.
Ooh, it is an attack. It is an onslaught.
All right, well... until next time, this is Dustin.
This is Seth.
Saying you don't have to be drunk to enjoy The Phantom Menace.
But it, some death sticks would probably help. You'll find out what those are in a little bit.
Yep. See ya.